Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, a town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
Just, all I said on this was, I got there that summer and misspoke on this, so I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
My mind, however, Governor Walz did in terms of sincerity, that Vance won this debate.
Does Governor Walz have a problem with the truth?
No.
They were talking. At one point, Vance wanted to correct something about how Haitians got into this country. And he was right, and the moderators wouldn't let him correct it. It's very interesting.
So what do you think your strongest moment was tonight?
Oh, I think it was a good debate, but we got to see a contrast. And I think the ending sums it up, the democracy issues.
Can you clarify what you meant when you said you'd be friends with school shooters?
So I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it. Look, the NRA, I was an NRA guy for a long time.
Who in God's name needs a weapon with 100 rounds in a chamber?
The day before the Lewiston, Maine massacre, Mother Jones ran a story on banning AR-15s. Within hours after the massacre involving an AR-15, Kamala Harris wanted our guns.
Once again, routine gatherings, this time at a bowling alley and a restaurant, have been turned into scenes of horrific carnage. And let us be clear, it does not have to be this way, as our friends in Australia have demonstrated.
The Australian example reveals that after the horrific Port Arthur shooting that killed 35 people, the Australians confiscated firearms. The propaganda would tell you that no mass shootings have occurred since. However, 24 mass shootings have occurred in Australia since 1996.
Take away the guns, because less guns equal less mass shooting. Well, that's a problem. Because as we've seen in Australia, Gee, throw that article up from the Australia Institute, Australia, more guns now than before Port Arthur. New research from the Institute finds that there are more guns in Australia now than there were before the Port Arthur massacre and introduction of strict gun control. So just to be clear, if your article is that, well, there are less mass shootings now because we took the guns, then your argument is actually the opposite, because you're arguing that more guns equal less mass shooting. How are they arguing that? Because there's more guns.
Has there ever been a more poignant time for the Second Amendment than right now?
An internal memo obtained by Newsmax, the San Diego Field Office of Customs and Border Protection writes, quote, San Diego Field Office Intelligence Unit assesses that individuals inspired by or reacting to the current Israel-Hamas conflict may attempt travel to or from the area of hostilities in the Middle East via circuitous transit across the southwest border. The memo continues, foreign fighters motivated by ideology or mercenary soldiers of fortune may attempt to obfuscate travel to or from the U.S. or to or from countries in the Middle East through Mexico.
In this heightened environment, there's no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats, and we've got to be on the lookout, especially for lone actors who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own.
TA in Denmark, Tennessee had 50 trucks slashed tires. 50 trucks that slashed tires. That's on I-40 through Tennessee. Exit 126 in Holiday, Tennessee. The Loves had 5 trucks. One guy had 9 tires slashed. And exit 163 at the Loves in Dixon, Tennessee, there were 16 trucks with tires slashed. So if y'all are traveling through that area, avoid those truck stops. Try not to stay overnight in those truck stops. That's the mail. They've got authority working on what's going on, and it's some kind of an activist group that is doing this.
Reminder, the Second Amendment isn't about weapon type or caliber or hunting. It is about protecting American citizens from a tyrannical government.
I've been telling listeners for months,
that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Thursday, October 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your guest host, Maria Z of zmedia.com, and it is wonderful to see you all this morning. We have a lot of news to go over today. We have following on from yesterday's broadcast and the nonsense about monkeypox and this biological threat, biological terrorism that they want to wage on us. Now we have Australia declaring some sort of monkeypox emergency in the state of New South Wales. All these people are being hospitalized. We have a Marburg scare in another country. Dr. Meryl Nass has come out about that. We have shocking, shocking scenes coming out of North Carolina. We want to show you some of those. And the absolute, it seems, refusal of many, many people in the Biden administration to want to help these people. They just seem to, want to let them suffer. We have multiple people coming out and talking about that. We have a few clips from you for you today from people who are testifying to what they're seeing on the ground. We also have a couple of really important guests coming up for you today as well. Ann Vandersteel is going to be joining us later to talk about what she's found out on the ground from North Carolina. And let me tell you, what I'm seeing thus far is absolutely shocking. But I want to talk about this crazy instance of Kamala Harris acting right after Mayorkas has warned that FEMA doesn't have enough funding to last through hurricane season. So he's saying FEMA doesn't have enough funding. Kamala's come out saying we only have $750 for the people of North Carolina. That's just $50 more than for the people of Lahaina at the last tragedy. And he's saying we're probably going to have another hurricane that's going to be very, very devastating. Is this part of their October surprise, or is this part of them distracting us from what the October surprise may be? We don't know, but there are certainly, as we played yesterday with Greg Reese's clip regarding this this particular Hurricane Helene, there are very, very suspicious circumstances around this. I've seen footage of the way that the hurricanes moved. It seems that weather manipulation may be involved. It's certainly not, impossible for them to do that. And there are a few very interesting things that people are saying about this, such as, you know, they're not letting us go in and help. FEMA's stopping people from assisting. If you're not an approved charity, you can't come in and give your assistance, and you can't help these people financially. And in fact, this is not unique to America. I can tell you that a couple of years ago we had really, really bad flooding in a place called Lismore in New South Wales, which just so happened to be earmarked for Smart City. And over 50,000 people at the time were displaced from their homes. We had, you know, a number of deaths. I can't remember the exact number now, but it was absolutely tragic. And we had one particular person who I know quite well going to help those people, and they wouldn't let him because it wasn't a government-approved charity. Now, I understand that maybe authorities have concerns around misappropriation of funds, or they think that people may be putting themselves in further danger if they don't have certain training. meaning, you know, I understand that those checks and balances are there in a sense to protect people, but we're also seeing this lack of humanity from the authorities, who are thinking that, well, you know, once upon a time where it would be completely natural, if your neighbor is suffering, you get out, you help them, you bring them food, you bring them whatever supplies they need. This is just a natural human response. But now for your own good, you're not allowed to help your neighbor. It's very sinister. In my opinion, it dehumanizes people, and it really even discourages others from going and trying to help, because the authorities are stepping in and saying you're not approved to help. You need a license to help or whatever. It's unbelievable. But I want to play you this clip of Kamala announcing only $750 of help for these people.
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met.
$750. And, of course, again, it was $700 to the victims of what happened in Maui. $750 doesn't go very far. And people may say, well, at least the government's giving them something. Well, I just did a little bit of a calculation last night, and we have a couple of articles I want to show you. So this is in no way, shape, or form all of the aid that's been provided to foreign nations, but we have a report from June 2024, the 27th of June, that says U.S. has sent Israel $6.5 billion in military assistance since October. Then you have another bill that was passed... emergency aid that was passed. U.S. House passes $26 billion in emergency Israel aid, most significant step since October 7. And, of course, there was that joint package of $95 billion for Ukraine and Israel. And then another one on May 10th, congressionally approved Ukraine aid totals $175 billion. So conservatively, let me just do a conservative calculation here. And, of course, this isn't, exact numbers, but I figured that, okay, $200 billion in total between Ukraine and Israel, two foreign nations, while the country itself is struggling. The population of North Carolina is approximately 10.7 million. So let's round that up to 11 million. If you round that up to 11 million and you divide it between, divide 200 billion by 11 million people, you get approximately 18,000 per person in aid. Now, I'm not suggesting the government gives everyone a cash injection of $18,000, but what I am saying is that had that $200 billion of taxpayer money, which is Americans that pay their taxes in America for America, not gone overseas, there would certainly be more than $750 to assist the people of North Carolina right now. And like I said yesterday, when you're on an aeroplane and you're listening to the safety instructions, they always tell you to put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on the person next to you. It's just common sense. You need to make sure that you are alive in order to help others. And right now, it seems like the people of North Carolina are being neglected. It certainly seems that way. We'll get Anne van der Stiel to talk more on that later. But Mayorkas is warning FEMA doesn't have enough to last through the hurricane season. Kamala says only 750. But do you know what Kamala's busy doing? She is busy at the moment doing photo opportunities and acting. We're going to go to clip 7 of Kamala Harris pretending she's doing something. So she's using this emergency jacket to look official. I'm not really sure what she's doing there. If we can just play that B-roll while I talk through this clip, guys, that would be great. So she's got this emergency jacket. She's looking very official. First of all, where's Joe Biden? He's the president. She is pretending to have a conversation with this guy, it seems. It's incredibly staged. Yes, nodding along. They're not actually really talking, it seems. And I bet if we read her lips, it won't even make sense what she's saying. So this is the vice president who's been, I guess, told she needs to behave like the president, because the president is a vegetable. I mean, where is Joe Biden? We have a number of crises right now in this country, and he's nowhere to be seen. Kamala Harris keeps turning up. She's talking about the assistance that's going to be provided for these people. She's walking around with a jacket to look official. And it really is what we were saying yesterday, which is that, you know, this coup happened and happened at a time where they can pretend that she is, you know, give her time to pretend to be a leader. And she keeps getting caught. She keeps getting caught pretending. She keeps, we played that clip with Chase the other night where she's reading out the response to Iran, you know, launching an attack on Israel. And she's, it looks like a hostage video. She's reading very slowly. It's staccato. I don't know if she's getting her lines or if she just can't read properly, but she is facing the camera every time there's a crisis. She is making, you know, presidential statements that are severely lacking in skill, but she's the one doing it. And so if we're at the point where Kamala Harris is the one that's out there, that's representing the country, that's leading the country, should there not be some official something relating to Joe Biden no longer being the president? This is pretty significant. I don't know. Maybe someone needs to go out to the beach in Delaware and see what he has to say. And how does he feel? Has he given Kamala the okay to do every single press conference, to make these statements, to decide about what aid's going out to people, to be the one to tell them about that? Has Joe Biden given this okay that Kamala is the one to go to the border, you know, to address the problems at the border? Wow. Wow. Well, we have a couple of, you know, tweets that I've seen or posts that I've seen. If we go to Soldiers NC1, number three crew, this is a, I want to say I haven't confirmed this and I didn't even put it out when I first saw it, but I'm talking about it because it's the second sort of thing of this nature that I've seen. So this person says, I'm in the 82nd stationed in, I can't see that too well, Fayetteville, NC. We have guys in our unit with family in Western NC that are trying to get to their family, guys who are asking to put in passes to go help any way they can. They're all getting told no. Meanwhile, we got briefed that we have to be on standby in case we need to support the Middle East. The people stuck need to know that we're trying, but our higher-ups aren't allowing it. And then we have another image, image four, where this person is saying, I can count on one finger how many times in my career the commanding general was the release authority for troops to go home. That said, there are elements still packed out for Asheville, but I wouldn't hold your breath that they'll be involved in hurricane relief efforts. He says, this is my personal opinion. So the message there is, Team AA6 is the release authority for anyone going home today. Please acknowledge, call them back to work, get them out of the barracks. There is a lot of messaging out there coming out. And again, I can't verify these, but it's the second, you know, message of this nature that I've seen. And I'm hearing a lot of reports from the ground of everyday people saying the same thing. They're not allowing people to come and help us. We're trying, they're refusing. And in fact, we have a clip of that. We have Jonathan Harvey from Aerial Recovery. It's about a 5-minute clip. We may not air the whole thing, but let's see what he has to say.
A matter of life and death for the people of North Carolina. So my name is Jonathan Howard. I'm a member of the Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit, and I'm also up here with Aerial Recovery, a nonprofit. I came up here on Sunday with Aerial Recovery before we even got activated. We flew up here, and then we got activated, which is great. I had my team up here working as well. Here's the problem. I'm going to tell you everything that's happening from the ground, what I'm actually seeing, because what they're telling you is complete bullshit on the news, and these politicians don't have a fucking clue, and they're lying. And I'll say this now, I'll say it at the end of the video. The only thing I need from this video is helicopters. If I have helicopters, I can save lives. Without helicopters, I can't reach these people. It doesn't matter how many chainsaws and trucks I got, I can't get to them. They're 10 miles in, 20 miles, 40 miles in the mountains. There's no way to get with them or even communicate with them. I am literally flying around in a civilian helicopter looking for SOS messages carved in the mud or painted on the ground, and we're dropping down and saving them. What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-year-old baby. And all these government officials and social media, they're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that like they have some like government helped with that. And I mean, even USA, I think it was USA Today, wrote an article about it saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina.
All right, we'll leave it there, guys. Civilian, I just don't know if there's any other language in that clip. So I apologize for a couple of those words there. But so you see that civilians are helping. The government's, he says, claiming that they've been involved in those rescue efforts. And he's saying, no, this is our own rescue efforts. This is civilians, you know, doing what they can to assist these people. And by the way, I can tell you, again, from that example that I gave you from Lismore, that happened in Australia, that we had, you know, official, you know, government representatives who were there to help on the ground. We actually had people catching them out, going and staging that they were helping, removing rubbish from someone's driveway, putting it in a trailer, then putting the rubbish back. There are a myriad of actual disaster relief efforts that they could have been doing, that they could have even recorded themselves doing, but they were actually staging this footage for the media. Them just, again, as I said, removing rubbish, putting it in a trailer, putting it back. It was the most bizarre thing that I'd ever seen. And meanwhile, they're telling the public on television, oh, you know, our first responders are doing such a great job. And, you know, I'm not trying to disparage all of the people that are helping. There are good people. I'm certain at FEMA there are good people that are good first responders. But the problem is that the conflicting reports that we are getting from, you know, the people on the ground saying, no, we're being turned away. They don't want us to help. They're not doing enough. That Mayorkas himself saying FEMA doesn't have the resources, we don't have the funding. I mean, there is a contradiction here. There is a contradiction here. And if we just look at that flood in Boone footage, video two, you can see how catastrophic this really is. You know, look how quickly this comes. I mean, are these people being sufficiently warned? I suppose they can't even be sufficiently warned because communications are out. At the same time, we have some major Verizon outage in the country, issues with Bank of America yesterday. I mean, guys, I feel like the issues that are hitting this country and the whole world right now look a little bit like that flood right there. It's just thing after thing after thing. And eventually, I mean, not only if people aren't allowed to give their resources and their assistance to their brother and sister, people are going to run out of resources if they keep getting hit with all these converging disasters. We have clip five, FEMA halting relief.
Out of some of the most affected areas in our southwest region of our country right now, namely Georgia, North Carolina. This morning on my show, we have LFA correspondent Tyler Kramer on the ground in North Carolina, and he had some great on-the-ground reporting, in-the-field reporting today. But basically, all of the relief efforts that have been going on have been by civilians, civilian airplanes. planes, civilian helicopters, civilian rescue vehicles, civilian tractors and dozers, and any kind of rescue and relief has all been done by civilians. People are coming together like you've never seen before. Actually, some of the greatest reporting this morning was at the fact that, you know, the country may not be as divided as we think, maybe politically, yes, but we're banding together like never before. And on LFA TV today, we raised about $8,000 to help in the relief efforts, which we're actually sending down there as well. Some of us are going to be heading down there to help out. But the breaking news today, folks, is that FEMA, that now has jurisdiction in a lot of these areas, is literally confiscating donations and relief materials. So any, you know, first aid kits and food and water, because FEMA has jurisdiction.
So they're confiscating donations, they're confiscating first aid kits, according to this gentleman. And shout out to, I don't know his name, but Charlene from The Truth About Cancer posted that video on X. Confiscating first aid kits, confiscating donations. How are they managing to confiscate donations? And again, I can just go back to the example that I know for certain. The person I told you about when this happened, not this, but a similar, you know, disaster situation, huge floods, lots of people displaced, an area that's not really prone to this sort of disastrous flooding. This was in Australia, but as I said, earmarked for a smart city plan. That these people were raising money, this person that I know was raising money, and they were accused of misappropriating funds. And in the end, it was sort of, you know, it wasn't an approved charity or whatever the case may be. You have a disaster. You're going to go through approvals to get an approved charity. You know, what happened to just taking the casserole that you made tonight, leftovers, to your neighbor because they're hungry? Those systems and processes don't exist anymore. We need to go through a bunch of red tape. Meanwhile, people are struggling and dying. And we have reports that looting has started already. In fact, that was after just 2 days, people were saying people have already started looting. So this is another reason, folks, why it's so important to be prepared at all times. I mean, if you're in a situation with a flood or a hurricane, it's a little bit different, because you may not even be able to access your home. But for other crises, it's so important to have food, to have water, to have communication, satellite communication. Alex recently had the gentleman on talking about satellite phones. We'll get that link for you after the break. These things are absolutely vital for emergency situations. You've got people saying, I've seen so many tweets on X, you know, I can't contact my mom, I can't contact my loved one, I haven't heard from them in 5 days. Now that person may very well be alive and well, but because they don't have communication, they can't reach their loved ones. Well, there is a solution for that. And they may have survived had they had the communication. So it's so vital that we get prepared for all sorts of things, guys, because as I said yesterday, they, and have been saying for months, and so has everyone who's paying attention, they're going to throw the kitchen sink at everyone ahead of this election. I don't believe they want to let this election go ahead. I think that there could be various things that can happen between now and November, and October is not going to be an easy month. So just make sure that we're prepared, and I'm sure that the whole team here at InfoWars is going to keep everyone up to date with what's going on and what they need to be aware of. You know, Harrison, I have to say, Harrison was the first person that I heard breaking the story about the ports. I actually became aware of that because of Harrison. He spoke about it long before it went viral. So InfoWars is the network to tune into. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk more on the other side of the break about monkeypox, Marburg, and God knows what else. We'll be right back.
So supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products, and for 40% off, some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid. I suppose the other reason why FEMA may not be able to assist Americans is because they're busy assisting migrants. San Diego County supervisors okay a $20 million from FEMA for Migrant Welcome Center. more than 136,000 migrants have been released from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol custody in the county since September, according to a local official. Gosh, I bet FEMA could use that $20 million right now for North Carolina, but we've got to help the illegals, guys. Those are the priorities. The illegals are the real emergency. Meanwhile, the Americans, this isn't an emergency. You get breadcrumbs and the illegals get $20 million. Is that how this works? Seems to be. This is shocking to me. I mean, is there any more blatant example of hating your own people than helping everyone but your own people first? But there's a Kamala Harris supporter who's had a rude awakening. This clip actually made me really sad. It made me really sad because I'm watching this person who admits to being a supporter of Kamala Harris, and his heart is genuinely breaking. Let's play that clip now.
Day six. And I just can't help but, I literally am just crying for my people and for... I mean, like, how could the government do us like this? And how could the whole country just forget about us? Like, it's not enough. What is being done is not enough. I mean, there are entire communities that have been just decimated. Where is our government? I mean, for Kamala, and I am an avid supporter, for her to stand in Florida today and make a statement. Where is our government? Where's the president? Where is that bitch? I mean, these people are so hardworking. They have struggled and struggled and struggled for generations to have what little bit they do. And it is completely wiped out from under them. And you can't do any more. You can't send any more support or any help. I love my people so much, and I have such an Appalachian heart. And it's so deeply rooted within me that it just is almost like too much. And, you know, like, just see people, I mean, it's just so sad, and I'm so mad.
It's what we've been trying to explain to you for the past year, Guy. And my heart really breaks for this man, because he is an example of a leftist who thinks that the government cares about him. Meanwhile, we're all screaming, they actually want you dead. And there is only one man who isn't actively trying to kill you that's currently running for president. Let's just say it how it is. And when these people have their rude awakening, when they realize this same government that tells them, oh, we want to be more inclusive and equity, and, you know, gives them all these statements that make them believe, wow, these people are on our side, and wow, these words make me feel like the government really cares about me. It's so amazing to hear them talking about equality and inclusivity, and until you're left to die. And so, again, you know, I want to encourage every single person watching this, don't wait until you're in a situation. And mind you, let me just go back to that guy. Mind you, President Trump would actually care about this person. This person that is an avid Kamala supporter who is heartbroken, downtrodden, and doesn't know what to do with himself. President Trump would care about this person. Kamala Harris is out there doing fake photo opportunities, going to the border, pretending that she cares about the border, pretending that she, you know, she's on Air Force Two, drawing squiggles. This is what Kamala Harris is out there doing, wearing her pretend official jacket. And did you notice that he said, where is our president? Where is that B-I-T-C-H? He actually thinks Kamala is his president. You know, I keep saying this. They did the coup against Biden. Kamala has a couple of months to pretend that she's a leader, to pretend that she's the president, and leftists like this heartbroken gentleman who's having this rude awakening are actually thinking this woman is the president already. And the bait and switch, the media lies, the media tactics, you know, sometimes we forget that they actually work on people who don't understand what's going on. This man is calling Kamala Harris his president and crying, and he's heartbroken because he's been abandoned by his president, Kamala. The media has effectively convinced these people that this woman is the president already. It's amazing. It's amazing how powerful the lies of the propaganda machine are. Can you see why they're so desperate to eliminate truth networks like InfoWars? Can you see why they are so desperate to eliminate independent media, Censor X, Censor any other platforms, Rumble? You know, Chris Pavlovsky says I'm receiving record levels of censorship requests on Rumble from countries like Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Because if it wasn't for all the people screaming what's actually going on, if it wasn't for all the people that are getting out there on the ground, like the couple of people that we, you know, the gentleman that we played before, Jonathan Harvey, and the other gentleman saying FEMA's halting relief, if it wasn't for people like that getting on the ground and then putting it on social media to let the people know you're not alone, you haven't been abandoned, we actually love you, we're trying to help, we're doing whatever we can. And I have a couple of examples of people doing just that, which I'll show you, because there is some heartening news in all of this. I want to be clear about that. But if it wasn't for being able to get those messages out, all that people like him would have is the media showing Kamala walking around with her little jacket and doing nothing. Maybe that's what it takes for someone to realize that the government actually is here to harm you, that no matter how many times they tell you that they care about inclusivity, they do not care about you. And it's a hard pill to swallow. That man seems genuinely shattered. I hope he wakes up. I hope he wakes up. And guess what? If he does, the right will be here to welcome him with open arms and educate him slowly but surely. You'll get there, fella. We don't hate you. We just want you to wake up to the fact that if you don't come and join with people who are telling you the truth, your future is going to be perpetual disappointment with these leftists. They want you dead. So on that note, I just want to be really clear, everyone, that, you know, if it isn't clear as day already, all of us have to be prepared. We don't know, and we're going to talk more about some of the October surprises that have come to light later on in the show today, but we don't know what they're going to throw at us. Again, Mayorkas saying we're expecting another huge hurricane. You know, climate change is wreaking havoc just ahead of the elections. Would you believe it? And, you know, the fact that there's lithium that we want to mine there has nothing to do with this. But gosh, the timing is just amazing, isn't it? And so we just really don't know what they're going to do. And I said the other day, if you're not prepared for absolutely every single situation to the best of your ability by now, time is running out. That link that I mentioned before is InfoWarsPhone.com. And I really encourage people to go to InfoWarsPhone.com because, as I said, I've seen pictures on social media of people saying, I can't contact my mum, it's been 5 days. They don't just have phones, they also have Faraday bags, backpacks, ballistic backpacks that have Faraday bags inside. I know because I know this supplier. I actually have a lot of these products myself. Personally, I can tell you they work phenomenally. I have an Imasat and the other satellite phone that they have on their the Iridium. I have the Iridium, the Imasat, and I have a Bivy stick. I'm not sure if that's listed on the InfoWarsPhone.com website, but all of these devices work phenomenally. I've actually tested them from Australia because they cover pretty much 99% of the world with these satellite phones. You can't go wrong. There's literally half a percent of a corner of some, you know, African desert that it may not work in. But I've tried it from Australia. I rang my cell phone I rang my cell phone from the sat phone, did the same thing back, and it connected almost immediately. So there is no difference whether you're in Australia, England, Germany, America. It works just as quickly, just as well. All you need is a clear sky, and you could literally save your life or the life of your loved ones in an emergency situation. We literally do not know what these people are going to do to us. And as well, Faraday bags are very, very important. You can shield your devices from EMPs. The ballistic backpacks with Faraday bags inside, fantastic thing to have right now. We just need to take this really seriously, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. When we see how these people are suffering and the lack of government support, I never want to allow myself to be in a situation where I'm depending on the government or standing in a breadline after some quote-unquote disaster, natural disaster. But there is some hope. There is some hope. I want to show this image from Greg Biffle. He's actually put this out on X, and he said, if your family's near this pin, they got my attention with a mirror flashing against the sun. They're okay, and we've dropped off supplies. And, you know, people in his comments are just grateful to him, thanking him for his efforts. It really is such a beautiful thing to see. But again, if, you know, this is his way of communicating on X, if they get away with their mis- and disinformation stuff, how would you even know? You know, how would you even, you wouldn't be allowed to put that out because, oh, it's not a government-approved message. But the fact that this is happening, the fact that communities are doing this and people are stepping up is extremely heartening to me. I'm very, very glad to see it. The other thing is that this gentleman, Ryan Tyre, has put out a really lengthy tweet. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but he's aimed to explain to people why this actually happens. And he says, if you're wondering why citizens are being turned away that are coming in to help NC and TN, Tennessee, you'll want to hear my experience as someone who's been doing this for about 10 years. And he says he doesn't know the reasons why in NC, but he says other storms that he's worked on before, it was in the Florida Keys with Hurricane Irma, and after Texas got hit with Harvey, the federal agencies had US-1 shut down just south of Key Largo and wouldn't let anyone in or out, even though the road was okay to pass, he says. They didn't care and wouldn't let us in. It was night by that point, and you rarely saw the lights of vehicles in the distance on the individual keys, meaning the emergency response teams from FEMA weren't even looking. It was all quiet. At that point, they decided that they would go in anyway, and they filled up boats and jet skis with everything that they could reasonably carry. They went in over water, and it was 87 miles by water to get to their first stop, which was Cudjoe Key and Sugarloaf Key. They were greeted by a homeowner when they arrived, and they were elated to see all the supplies that they brought. His house was in shambles. They started offloading the supplies, and during that process, he explained to them that FEMA had set up a commercial center at a local high school on the island, but that they weren't doing anything to help the residents, not even bringing them water. Instead, he explained that they were driving around using a loudspeaker, telling people to stay in their homes. They weren't even helping the homeowners with supplies. He says he was skeptical at first, but then he said something that broke my heart. He says, he told us that the people of the Keys were all in despair because they had just seen weeks before the overwhelming support for Texas with Hurricane Harvey. But the citizens of this country, by the citizens of this country rather, he and his neighbors on all of the Keys felt like Americans had forgotten about them completely, because at this point, 5 days after landfall, all they had seen was FEMA and they were of no help. And of course, the residents were cut off from the world. No cellular, no internet, no way to contact anyone because they didn't have a satellite phone, of course. Infowarsphone.com. The only communication they had was from a local radio station on the Sugarloaf Key that was broadcasting. And after the man heard that there were citizens actually trying to help, he was upset. He was really upset that he and his neighbors thought the country had abandoned them. So after that, they determined to help as many people as they could. They were able to coordinate several trucks full of supplies. The reason that the EOC told them that they couldn't offload those supplies, and the reason was that these donations were not from companies on their quote-unquote preferred vendors list, and that they would not accept them or give them to the residents of the Keys impacted by the storm. We heard similar things in Maui during the Lahaina disaster. He said, I diverted all semi-trucks to the Faro Blanco Resort in Marathon and filled the entire first floor with pallets upon pallets of food, water, and essential supplies and created a food pantry for residents. What a hero. What an absolute hero. And he says, for everyone from state troopers to the homeless, all were given wheelbarrows and free rein to get anything that they needed. There is so much more to that story, but he says, I call to Elon Musk and anyone else who can monetarily help people like myself and those that work with me who have the knowledge and the will to help those devastated by these disasters. So that is a first-hand account from someone who's been involved, he says, in disaster relief for 10-odd years. I think this one, if I'm not mistaken, Elon Musk actually responded to as well. And it would, you know, we've seen Donald Trump step up almost immediately, over $1 million organized for these people. And then Kamala supporters are just left crying into their cameras. Why do you think, Liberals, why do you think it is that the minute that a disaster like this occurs, the right-wing lunatics, the right-wing nutjobs are the first to come to your aid and don't ask whether you're voting for Kamala or Trump when they do it? I just wonder, I really do wonder, you know, whether maybe God will turn this around. Maybe all of the right-wing nutjobs who've gone to assist the Liberals, the Kamala voters in this area, will show them what it really is all about, why they're conservatives, why conservatism is an infinitely more moral movement, why it's infinitely more caring, and ultimately it's a movement truly about humanity that doesn't always pander to your feelings, but actually cares. I want to go through a couple of other things before our next guest comes on in the next hour. This is a very, very interesting situation. So yesterday we had word that there was a hemorrhagic fever concern overseas, and Dr. Meryl Nass has responded to this particular, Marburg warning. She said Marburg, like Ebola, is a hemorrhagic fever. It was a train incident, and she says it's a hemorrhagic fever virus that requires more than casual contact for transmission. Generally, it spreads via body fluids, not through inhaled air. Thus, transmission is limited, because they're trying to say, oh, this guy on this train has Marburg, now everyone on the train is at risk. That's not how Marburg spreads. Unless they've applied gain of function and made it aerosolized. Who knows? How many Americans contracted Ebola in 2014? She says two nurses who were not given proper PPE and several others who caught it in Africa. Less than a dozen Americans in total. No one got it in the New York subway where Dr. Craig Spencer had been. Child, you were being played in order to roll out the pandemic preparedness agenda. So remember yesterday when we were talking about the fact that monkeypox is one of the major injections that they're pushing. The ACAM 2000 injection within the package insert says, this will cause death to the unvaccinated that come in contact with it. It can cause blindness. It can cause all this sort of, you know, different symptoms. So perhaps they're now warning about Marburg or Nipah and these sorts of things as well, because Moderna actually has a clinical trial that's finishing in 2025. And that's the year of the scenario that we looked at yesterday in that National Blueprint for Biodefense, that they say Nipah happens to break out. Now, out of all of the potential pandemics that the WHO has identified, I believe it's 9 out of 12 that are actually hemorrhagic in nature. So they are expecting a high likelihood of the next pandemic will be hemorrhagic in nature. I've always said they're not going to get away with an invisible pandemic. It'll be people bleeding from the eyes, nose, mouth and ears. And that is what a hemorrhagic virus is. Now, at this current point, as Dr. Nass says, you know, you don't catch Ebola that way. You don't catch Marburg that way. It is through bodily fluids, close contact with those fluids But there is a chance that they have weaponized that particular illness as well. They have a myriad of BSL-4 labs all around the world, as we discussed yesterday, which are a direct violation of the Biological Weapons Convention, but nonetheless, they keep building them. And so it is a very, very large possibility that, you know, they've been, because they've been doing this, they've been floating the idea of a Marburg or a Nipah or whatever the case may be. But it is important to note that Moderna is currently conducting clinical trials, which are expected to end next year, which just so happens to be the year that the National Blueprint for Biodefense said that we would have a Nipah outbreak. So just be mindful of that, everyone. And be mindful of the fact that people are getting sick from the injected, from people that are injecting themselves against these quote unquote viruses. So what's just happened in New South Wales is in Australia is that the government is urging people to go and get injected against monkeypox. They're saying that there is, New South Wales is recording the largest mpox outbreak and is urging vaccination due to rising hospitalizations. Now, as with, you know, every single one of these injections, the Vaccinia Live virus inside the ACAM 2000 injection says this will actually cause you to get the sickness, not just you, but those around you. And if you're pregnant and you come into contact with one of these people who got this injection, or if you're just simply unvaccinated in general, you will be shed onto and potentially your unborn child may die, you may die. And that's what we're doing now with vaccines. Okay, cool. So they're urging people to go and get more of these injections, which are like a death shot to people around the vaccinees. And Kerry Chant, the chief health officer, confirms that there have been 433 cases since the 1st of June, and it's the biggest outbreak. Now, it's really hilarious because she says that the majority of these hospitalizations have been among those who've received one or no dose of the vaccine. She said infections among fully vaccinated people tended to be milder and for a shorter period. Well, they said that about COVID as well, and that wasn't the case. But anyway, almost 40% of the 433 people infected were fully vaccinated. 14 had received one dose and almost half were not vaccinated, she said. Now, they admit that this is predominantly in gay people, men who have sex with men, sex workers, and their sexual partners. So we know that the ACAM 2000, for example, clearly says if you get this ACAM 2000 injection, now I don't know if that's the one that they got, but that's currently approved by the FDA for monkeypox. So if you get the ACAM 2000 injection, if you do not isolate for 30 days and you even breathe near someone who's unvaccinated, they will get sick, perhaps get myocarditis. They'll certainly be vaccinated with you, and you and that person may get sick from this injection. You may get monkeypox. And so we're trusting, apparently, 40% of these men who have sex with men have been isolating for 4 weeks, like the FDA package insert says? Or are they just going around doing their escapades, and that's why this community is just breaking out in all this sickness and God knows what else? Let me just say, for gay people out there, the government wants you dead just as much as they want everyone else dead. They don't care about you, no matter how much they talk about equality and, you know, making sure that everything's inclusive. What they actually mean is we're obtaining your trust in order to unleash a deadly injection on you. They want us all dead equally. And so we're going to talk more about that on the other side of this break with our special guest, Major Tom Haviland. These injections wreaking havoc on the community to this day. Don't go anywhere.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Governor, you previously opposed an assault weapons ban, but it's only later in your political career did you change your position. Why?
Yeah, I sat in that office with those Sandy Hook parents. I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it. Look, the NRA, I was the NRA guy for a long time. They used to teach gun safety. I'm of an age where my shotgun was in my car so I could pheasant hunt after football practice. That's not where we live today. And several things I want to mention on this is, talking about cities and where it's at, the number one, where the most firearm deaths happen in Minnesota are rural suicides. And we have an epidemic of children getting guns and shooting themselves. And so we have, and we should look at all of the issues, making sure folks have health care and all that, but I want to be very careful. This idea of stigmatizing mental health, just because you have a mental health issue doesn't mean you're violent. And I think what we end up doing is we start looking for a scapegoat. Sometimes it just is the guns. It's just the guns. And there are things that you can do about it.
I didn't want to believe it. It can't be. It can't be true. It can't be a gun. You were at my daughter's wedding. You son of a bitch! I trusted you! Fine.
Dad, you say the single worst abuse of all was the abuse of power.
And I'll tell you what I have been doing. I've been voting for common sense legislation that protects the Second Amendment, but we can do background checks. We can do CDC research. We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states, and we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are.
What I really don't like is the puppet president that clearly stole the election, Joe Biden, who couldn't get 50 people to a rally and hid in the basement during the campaign, spoken against the Second Amendment.
And above all, we all agree, we are not finished. We are not finished. It made it harder for people to buy stabilized braces. Put a pistol on a brace, it turns into a gun. Makes it more, you can have a higher caliber weapon, a higher caliber bullet coming out of that gun.
And for those that are not gun owners or don't know basic stuff, a gun brace does not make a higher caliber go out the barrel. You can only shoot the caliber in a gun that the barrel's made for, or it'll blow up on you. So that's just, it's just made up there, and well, everything else he says is a lie too.
And in most cities down in Philadelphia and New York, areas I know well, like up here, you'd see a truck pull up. Pull to the curb and selling weapons.
Of course, the only time we've seen trucks pull up and hand guns out is Fast and Furious and Eric Holder and the Obama Justice Department. That got confirmed. So I guess there are trucks pulling up, handing out guns in Mexico from the ATF so they can trace back to the U.S. so they can blame the Second Amendment.
You're saying internally, have we...
Internally, have you pulled all that information?
We've looked at 240 custodians, we have processed millions of electronic records, and we've reviewed over 140,000 documents and produced 7,600.
Look, I don't want to hear about the 7,600.
Chairman, I would beg to allow...
The lady is out of order. Would the lady please...
Mr. Chairman, a parliamentary inquiry. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
In late 2009, ATF agents in Phoenix noticed a flurry of gun purchases in the United States by suspected traffickers from Mexican drug cartels, including giant 50 caliber rifles. But instead of stopping the weapons, agents say their superiors order them to let the guns cross the border. It's called gun walking. To see where they ended up and see if they would lead to a major drug cartel leader. Agents videotaped suspected dealers from Mexican drug cartels buying weapons. The case grew to include thousands of weapons. Then, in December 2010, two Fast and Furious rifles turned up at the murder of a Border Patrol agent in Arizona, Brian Terry.
It's getting so insane that I don't know what to even say at this point.
When this administration took office in January 2021, we were briefed on a number of sensitive efforts by Beijing around the world. Based on the information we have, the PRC conducted an upgrade of its intelligence collection facilities in Cuba in 2019.
About this base now in Cuba, and you're saying it goes back much farther than 2019. How long back does this go?
Well, Secretary of State Blinken and White House Press Secretary were not incorrect in stating that this goes back to a previous administration. But it was the Obama administration.
The globalists have done this to put these puppets in so they get all the blame while the actual controllers are in the background, deindustrializing society, consolidating control.
In other words, we need interoperability. And for this reason, the IMF...
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJones.com. Naturals.com that's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. I want to, or I need to actually, issue you with a bit of a disclaimer ahead of this segment. If you are currently eating breakfast, I recommend putting that breakfast aside because we will be showing some graphic images. Now, whilst the government would love to sweep the carnage of the COVID injections under the rug, there are a lot of good people who are still working on exposing this crime, because if we don't expose this crime, and by the way, the injection rates have dropped to, you know, drastic levels. I just saw in Australia it's about, on average, 1.4% still getting these boosters. God help those people. But the injection rates are dropping dramatically. I've spoken to doctors here in the US who are saying, my patients are coming in, they're saying, I don't want to get the booster. You know, feeling like they have to whisper it to the doctor. One of those doctors said to me, why are you whispering? We're the only people in the room, you know. But people really don't want to keep getting these injections. And it's great. And it's because of the hard work of people like Major Tom Haviland, who is joining me today. I met Major Tom a couple of years ago through my good friend Richard Hirschman. You would all know him. He is the embalmer that first exposed these grotesque white rubbery, you know, clot formation looking things that were coming out of the C-19 injected population. Of course, Mike Adams conducted live analysis on air at the InfoWars studios of those clots. They're not actually clots. They're more just white fibrous structures, or, you know, John O'Looney from the UK describes them as calamari because they're so thick. But Major Tom Haviland has actually been conducting surveys with embalmers, not just in the US, but around the world. And he's got some new survey results as well as some other developments to talk to us about. So I'm very, very honored to have him and introduce him to you. Major Tom, thank you so much for being here today.
Maria, thanks for having me on the show again. And you're absolutely right. These white fibers clots, I'll show the audience a sample here. This is a very small sample. This is one individual clot. And the reason I only show you this small sample right now is I gave away my other really good samples to Tucker Carlson about two Saturdays ago. I met Tucker and actually presented him a vial of the clots.
That's one type of gift that you can leave people. I'm interested to know, Major Tom, what was his response? Was this the first he'd heard about it?
When I handed Tucker the vial of clots, I said, Tucker, let me introduce you to the most spectacular side effect of the COVID-19 vaccines.
Wow.
And he says, is this real? I said, it's real, Tucker. Then he said, I'm glad I didn't get the vaccine. And I said, Tucker, you're a smart man. So after I had that 15-minute photo shoot with Tucker, I then was able to talk to his team. He had his producer there and some other folks on his staff in Hershey, Pennsylvania, at this event that he was speaking at. And we talked more. I gave them a couple more vials of the clots, also this handout that I had, basically showing them how they could contact me. You know, I would love to have Tucker get me on a show, obviously. And if Alex Jones could put in a good word for me, I really would appreciate that, Maria.
Well, but, I have to give credit to Tucker because, you know, even being on a major news network like Fox News, he was very vocal. He was, you know, honest about the fact that he hadn't got these injections. I am certain that convinced a lot of people to have courage to refuse this pressure from the government. Major Tom, I want to ask you, just for the viewers who aren't familiar with you, just give us a little bit about your background and then we'll get into this latest survey.
Sure. Retired U.S. Air Force major, spent 20 years in the U.S. Air Force, retiring as a major, then spent 16 years as a defense contractor working with the Air Force, electrical engineer and data analyst. And I watched that movie Died Suddenly, and that's when I saw these six or seven embalmers in that movie, including Mr. Richard Hirschman, who we spoke about, saying they were seeing these white fibrous clots. I got curious and said, well, I'm going to do a survey to see just how prevalent this is. And I've actually done two worldwide embalmer blood clot surveys over the last 2 years. I was on Alex's show earlier in the year and gave the results of my most recent survey. And the startling thing is, Maria, 70% of the embalmers are still seeing these white fibrous clots. They say that they started in 2021 after the jabs came out, and they're still seeing these clots in an average of 20% of their corpses, Maria. So this is not a rare phenomenon. This is a prevalent thing. So now I've actually turned my focus from the embalmers, since we've already gotten good information from them, to now vascular surgeons and people that work in cath labs, catheterization labs and hospitals that actually are pulling these same white fibrous clots out of living people. We know that's happening, Maria, because the embalmers, first of all, they said, hey, we're picking up bodies that are only an hour or two old. We're finding them riddled with the clots. We knew there was no way that those clots could have formed in just the hour or two since the person passed. And then during February and March, two whistleblowers came forward, thanks to my doing interviews, Richard doing interviews, John O'Looney doing interviews, around the world. I think a couple of vascular surgeons actually saw those videos and got a conscience and reached out to Dr. Philip McMillan, who runs a YouTube channel called Vegan Health, and to myself and said, that, hey, we've been pulling these out of living people for the last 3 years. And what's interesting about that, Maria,
Tom, because you have sent me some email communication. For the purpose of this broadcast, we're going to keep this particular doctor anonymous, but we do have some very interesting communications that have happened between you and this doctor. So we will discuss that, but at this stage, we don't have permission to share this doctor's name, so we're not going to. Hopefully, we can convince them to come forward at some point, but we do have information about those communications. Please go on, Major Tom.
Yeah, the video, the photo you just showed was sent to me by my whistleblower, who's located in Florida. Like I say, he's afraid to come out and speak about it publicly. But what you see on the right there is a white fibrous clot, still covered in blood after it's pulled out of the body. This was a deep vein thrombosis. And then on the left, you see the angiograms of what the clot looked like when it was still in the leg before it was removed. So this person, unfortunately, started off communication with me a few weeks later, sent me an email saying, I have been instructed to terminate all further communications. So somebody got to this doctor. He's a endovascular specialist and cardiologist in Florida. That's as far as I'll go.
Dr. Yeah, I'm just Miller looking also, at the email. Here's what I was busy with: treating a 60-year-old with prior vaccine and new COVID infection. Huge deep vein thrombus was pulled out from his leg veins yesterday. And so, you know, it's a shame that after all that back and forth, this person has decided not to come forward. As you said, I've been advised to cease all communications. That's really, I mean, I want to know what happened there. By the same token, I just want to issue that person some encouragement that we really need answers. We need more people, more doctors taking this very seriously. We need actual research to go into this. And unless you speak up, we're not going to get that research. We're not going to be able to avoid the next disaster. If the COVID injections cause this, imagine what future injections will cause with them knowing that this is going on and not addressing it. This is just horrific, horrific stuff. Please go on, Major Tom.
Yeah, so Dr. Phil McMillan, who runs a YouTube channel called Vegan Health, also found a whistleblower. His was a little bit more forthcoming, even though he didn't come forward completely. He did a 52-minute Substack interview with that gentleman, and that gentleman said he'd been working in the same cath lab for over 20 years, and he was removing anywhere between 3 to 10 of the white fibrous clots out of people every week in his one cath lab alone. Now, keep in mind, there's over 1,700 cath labs across the United States, so you can do the math. But this gentleman, what's interesting is these vascular surgeons and endovascular specialists do have access to the COVID vaccination records of all their patients, unlike the embalmers. So they could tell us whether or not when they find the white fibrous clots, whether or not that person took the COVID vaccine. And this particular cath lab whistleblower told Dr. McMillan that 99% of the time when he finds the white fibrous clots, the person has been jabbed with anywhere between 1 to 8 jabs.
Did you say 95%?
99%.
99%.
Yeah. And he says, and the more jabs they have, the worse the clotting seems to be.
Wow.
So I said, well, you know, since these gentlemen don't want to come forward publicly, I said to myself, well, why don't I try to do a cath lab whistleblower or cath lab blood clot survey, similar to the one I did for the embalmers. So what I did, Maria, is I developed a survey that I sent to the societies for vascular surgery in both the United States, Canada, UK, and Australia, New Zealand, encouraged them to take a survey similar to the two that I had done for the embalmers. And I got crickets back. I got one response, Maria, from the United States Society for Vascular Surgery. They're located in Rosemont, Illinois, and they have over 6,300 members. But they sent me back an email saying they refused to take the survey. The other societies didn't respond at all, which is really sad, Maria, like I said, because they could provide us valuable data, right? And I think they're actually violating their own mission statements and code of ethics, because it says on their mission statement that they're supposed to do research in vascular surgery on problems affecting vascular surgery. And I can tell you right now, these white fibrous clots are certainly affecting vascular surgery because they have to go in and physically remove them from people. They cannot break them down with clot-busting drugs. So
yes, certainly that's been reported to me. You know, Richard Hirschman's spoken about the material, if you want to call it that, of these things. I just, John O'Looney has said these are not clots. I mean, we call them clots because it's the best name that we have for them, but this is not a blood clot. This is something completely different. It's completely, we haven't seen this before. And it's stringy like calamari. And I mean, it's just disgusting to even think about it. But you did do a 2024 People's Blood Clot Survey as of October 2024, 1st of October. Talk to us about the results of that survey.
Yeah, Maria, we can go through the slides there on the survey. Because I wasn't getting good responses from the doctor in, I said, well, let's work at the patient in. Maybe they can tell us what's been happening. So as you said, we did the 2024 People's Blood Clot Survey. And thanks to Clayton Morris from the Redacted News folks, and also Dr. John Campbell, who both displayed a QR code for people to take in their audiences. We received over 1,400 responses, Maria, to this People's Blood Clot Survey from all over the world, not just the USA, you know, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, but also from all parts of Europe, South America, Central America, Asia, all over the place. So it was just wonderful that the people came through and gave us lots of information.
Right.
Now, the first question, the first question of note here is we just asked basically, have you or anyone that you know had blood clotting issues that started after January 2020? That was the purpose of the survey. So 1,367 said yes. 58 said no. I'm not sure why those people took the survey. They weren't really supposed to take the survey. They didn't have blood clotting issues or know of anybody. The real first question of substance is question three. The next question, we asked, what years mark all that apply have you or the person that you know had these blood clotting issues? And what's shocking about this response, you can see there, Maria, the bar for 2020 is very small, right? That was the year that we had COVID, but no vaccines yet. However, very few people said that they had clotting issues in that year. But if you look starting in 2021, moving forward, the numbers explode, right? 524 people said they had clotting issues starting in 2021.
Right.
So this tells me that the problem is not the COVID virus. The problem is the COVID vaccine that's causing the clotting.
But this is the way that way. I'm just thinking about the people that have suggested that this may be a spike protein issue. It is maybe potentially possible that as of 2020, you know, large amounts of the spike protein being released through this, you know, apparently lab modified virus may have been the cause of this, because I don't know how many injections were being given in 2020, but surely some people had gotten them in late 2020.
Yes, and you'll see that on a slide coming up.
Sure.
You're right. And the spike protein on the surface can be the virus was dangerous in its of itself, but much less of that got into most people's systems than the vaccine, which is directly shot intravenously into the system, right? The virus actually have you go through your mucosal membranes first and fight its way into the inside of your body, as opposed to the vaccine getting directly injected. And by the way, getting a lot higher doses of that of the mRNA that produces the spike protein.
Right.
So question four confirmed basically what we said in question three. We just flat out asked, did the person with the clots take the COVID-19 vaccine? As you can see, the vast majority, 1,294 of the people said, yes, the person with the clots took the COVID-19 vaccine. Only 82 said no.
It'd be interesting to figure out whether those 82 actually had close relationships with people that were injected. Obviously, we've seen, as with the ACAM 2000, and by the way, Pfizer admitted to shedding as well in their own documents that they were forced by the courts to release after they tried to keep it hidden for 75 years. But it'd be interesting to know about the people who answered no there, 82 people, how close they were in contact with the injected, considering now we have, you know, ACAM 2000 basically saying if you're pregnant and you're carrying a baby and you come in contact with someone who's had a monkeypox injection, you could die, your baby could die. This is literally the FDA admitting to this.
Right. And in addition to shedding, Maria, blood transfusions may also be an issue as well. Somebody right. who did not receive the COVID vaccine may have actually gotten the mRNA in them via a blood transfusion if they had a hospital procedure done.
Great point.
So the next question we asked was question five, was what years mark all that apply did the person with the clots take the COVID-19 vaccine? And as you said earlier, here in America, we did start the shots in December of 2020, and you'll see a short bar there, but most people got their shots in 2021, and then fewer in 2022, and then fewer in 2023. And this matches perfectly the CDC's information. Here in America, about 80% of American adults over the age of 18 took at least the first two shots. Only about 20% of American adults over the age of 18 took the BA4, BA5 bivalent Omicron booster in the fall of 2022, and then only about less 10% of American adults over the age of 18 took the XBB 1.5 booster that came out in the fall of 2023. So as you can see, you know, that matches, and that gives me confidence, by the way, that the people are answering the survey properly because they're matching what the CDC is saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, showing on the screen there that QR code that's on the screen there. I welcome your viewers of InfoWars to go ahead and take the survey. It's still open for anybody to take. Like I said, if anybody you or anybody you know has had blood clotting issues since January of 2020, please feel free to take the survey.
Fantastic. That QR code is up on the screen for the viewers right now. Question six, you asked them, how soon did the person develop the blood clotting issue after taking the COVID-19 injection? What are the results here?
Yeah, 125 said less than 2 weeks, interestingly. 118 people said between 2 weeks and a month. 320 said between 1 to 6 months. 217 people said between 6 months and a year. And 367 said greater than a year. And this corroborates the theory that the embalmers and I have, that it may take anywhere between 6 to 18 months or maybe even more for these white fibrous clots to actually grow to the point where they become noticeable or life-threatening, you know, causing a stroke or heart attack. Mr. Richard Hirschman, the embalmer we mentioned earlier, said that he first started seeing the white fibrous clots in the middle of 2021, about 6 months after the vaccines rolled out. So it may take some time for them to grow in your system to the point where they get life-threatening.
It is very, very alarming that people that, you know, got the boosters a year ago may find that, you know, they didn't feel any problems, and then all of a sudden they have these enormous structures inside their bodies. I mean, the fact that this is taking so long to form makes sense. It's also terrifying for the people that were trusting the government just a year ago. And so whilst the numbers of injection uptake are very, very low right now all across the world, there are people who would have gotten boosters who aren't getting them now who may still be at risk. This is why we need more people to come forward about this, especially the types of people that you were discussing right at the start of the broadcast, Major Tom, because we need this to be acknowledged and we need more research to go into it.
And you're absolutely right, Maria. Some people are actually, they're symptomatic and they're showing signs when they're having clotting going on, but others are not. There's clotting going on inside of them and they're totally asymptomatic. They feel just fine until they just die suddenly of a heart attack or a stroke. So
I want to ask you as well, because it's been a little while since I spoke with Richard Hirschman, but are you also finding through your network of embalmers that people that are dying suddenly overwhelmingly have these clots inside them?
Right now, like I said, in 2024, my last survey, the current average is about 20% of the corpses, which is still shocking, right? One out of every five corpses containing these white fibrous clots, as well as about one out of every four corpses containing another serious issue called microclotting, which the embalmers describe as dirty blood or coffee grounds, which can be just as dangerous because, you know, it blocks the exchange of oxygen at the lungs and then the carrying that oxygen to all the major organs of your body and can block those very small blood vessels like those in your brain, those in your eyes, etc. So it's not a good situation.
No, it's absolutely not. And this is one thing that I can say with confidence that none of us wanted to be correct about. I never, ever wanted to see, and I told you so. I'm certainly not doing that now, but I just wish people had listened, Major Tom. And this is why we need to keep talking about this, so that next time that the government launches a fear campaign and some sort of, you know, just yesterday we were looking at this national blueprint for biodefense, and it basically says that at any time a biological attack could occur that is defined by whatever they say it is, essentially, and basically that adults need to be subjected to, moving forward, routine injections for each of the 26th pathogen groups that they've identified, and that needs to be a routine thing through an adult vaccine national program, just like the children's vaccine schedule. We need an adult vaccine schedule that you'll be basically denied government services. They don't expressly say that, but you'll be denied government services if you don't get all of these routine, they use that word, routine injections, so that means regularly. So, you know, I'm seeing where this is going, Major Tom, if it's linked to your bank account, if it's linked to your ability to conduct yourself online, you know, your constant compliance with these injections linked with your digital ID. People are literally risking their lives every time they take an injection these days. I'm convinced of it.
I agree with you, Maria. I'd be very skeptical about putting any of these mRNA, the banana particle products in my body. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at the next question of the survey before we go to break.
Okay. Speaking of the body, we asked the folks what blood clotting, the blood clotting issue was in what part of the body. And legs was the number one answer, 593, followed by lungs, 397 people said that, followed by brain, heart, abdomen, and then we had a catch-all for other places like nose, eye, arm, uterus, all over the body, Maria. But what's interesting about this slide is this data provided by the folks that took the survey matches perfectly the data coming out of the CDC's V-Safe system. In addition to VAERS, CDC had a system called V-Safe that it was a downloadable app that people could download on their smartphones, and 10 million Americans did download this app to talk about their vaccine experiences. What's interesting is 8% of those, 800,000 of those people, said they did have an adverse event that was severe enough that they had to either go to the emergency room, urgent care, or schedule a doctor's appointment. But Del Bigtree's folks at the Highwire, they represent ICANN, the Informed Consent Action Network, they FOIA'd the CDC to get their free text data fields from this V-Safe system because the CDC didn't want to turn it over voluntarily. But a judge made them do it, said, oh, yeah, you're going to turn this information over, and they did. And they've been doing it in the form of Excel spreadsheets that have hundreds of thousands of records
Let's
every month.
Let's talk about what we revealed from that FOI after this short break, Major Tom. I'm very, very interested to hear what is it that the CDC has been hiding from people, and also why is it predominantly gathering in the legs? All of that and more after this break. Don't go anywhere.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency-controlled coup for decades in this country. We didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world,
A daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must. And we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Maria Z of zmedia.com, and we are here with our special guest, Major Tom Haviland, who's been conducting surveys across the country and across the world, talking to embalmers, talking to doctors, about what they are seeing inside of predominantly injected people that are passing away. We've just gotten up to this question before the break of the blood clotting issue being predominantly in the legs. Do we know why that may be the case, Major Tom? Why is it predominantly going to the legs? Is this, you know, material because people are walking, it's going lower, it's heavy? I mean, what is it?
Not sure about that, Maria, but to finish the story, when I went through the ICANN records, sure enough, I would do a search in these Excel spreadsheets for the term blood clotting and then count where the blood clotting was taking place, and sure enough, legs was the number one answer in the CDC data, followed by lungs, and then followed by the others. So this, again, gives me good confidence that the people taking the survey are responding accurately because they're matching perfectly what the CDC's own VSafe information shows. Yeah, that's one. And by the way, the vascular surgeons, a couple of cath lab whistleblowers that Dr. McMillan and I have been in touch with have also noticed that the two primary areas are the legs, with the, like I said, with the deep vein thrombosis we showed earlier on the program, and also what's called saddle pulmonary embolisms, saddle PEs up in the lung areas. So those seem to be two of the most popular places where these strange white fibrous clots like to migrate.
Right, right. I'm still, you know, outraged at the fact that someone had to go through an FOI process to get this information to the public, and then, you know, depend on independent media, which, by the way, is far more effective than the mainstream. But if you're talking national emergency, you're talking, you know, clinical trial, the world's in the greatest clinical trial, you want to be keeping the public up to date with all of that information via your mainstream networks that just host your experts all the time, and yet the public, so much of the public, has no idea that this is going on unless they're tuning in to real media. So, I mean, it's just crazy to me how much of this is still hidden, Major Tom, but this is why we're doing what we're doing today. Okay, how was the blood clotting issue resolved? Question 8.
Yeah, one of the most fascinating questions. The good news is that 98 people said that the clot went away on its own. Another 416 said that they were able to dissolve the clot using clot-busting drugs like TPA, that stands for tissue plasminogen activator. But then the bad news is about two-thirds of the people had a bad – either they haven't resolved the clot yet. You can see 383 still have the clot. Another 257 had to have it physically removed, surgically removed. And I'm guessing most of those were probably the white clot variety. Because the white fibrous ones, as you know, cannot be broken down with the clot-busting drugs. And then really sadly, 242 people actually passed away from the clot before they could get the clot out and save the person. Wow. So this is just it's a disaster, Maria, and not surprising from what we know has been going on in terms of people dying suddenly over the last three and a half years. So, you know, the final question, by the way, we asked is, if the person's clot was physically removed by a doctor, would you be willing to share that doctor's name? And out of the over 1,400 responses we got, only about 10% of the people said yes. 142 people said yes, they would be willing to give that doctor's name. And that tells me that they're afraid to speak out, right? They're afraid they don't want to get their doctor in trouble because they know if the doctor says anything negative about the vaccines in conjunction with these horrible clots they're finding, that they could have their board certifications taken away, their licenses stripped from them. So, you know, the people don't want to get their doctors in trouble. So there's just this whole big cover-up that's going on, and it's sad.
I can't believe that 4 years down the track, we're still in the process of a cover-up. I cannot believe that there are still people that won't speak out. I know from someone that I know who, you know, works in the medical field and says that the doctors that this person works with are absolutely terrified. They're terrified of the consequences for the injections that they recommended. They're terrified for their own lives, actually. They know what's going on, and they're not going to speak. And I have no compassion for those cowards. I really don't. I'm out of compassion for cowards.
I agree. The good news is, though, Maria, that the 1,400 people that responded to this survey, the people, the patient at that end, they did speak out. And boy, we got hundreds and hundreds of really sad stories from these people. I'd like to read a few of them to you, Maria.
Yes, please.
Just really stand out. First one here is, my mother had three COVID vaccines, all Pfizer vaccines. She was healthy and had a stroke and coded in the hospital and died within 5 days. The funeral director is a good friend of the family's and informed us and showed us the white fibrous clots that were throughout her body. He told us they were seeing a lot of these types of clots while embalming. So there's an example right there of somebody, finding the white fibrous clots.
Wow.
The next one here is, my mother never had clotting issues before this incident. Then only 2 weeks after receiving the COVID shot, she was taken to the emergency room for multiple clots that developed in the same arm she received the COVID shot.
You see, that is a clear indication that it's not always a delayed thing either. This is a very, very rapid development of those clots just a few weeks after she got the shot.
Well, we know there was tremendous batch variation in the amount of vaccine mRNA that were in some of the products. There was must have been some very poor manufacturing going on, because a lot of the batches that came out were hot, and there were some medium-sized batches, and there were others that had very little active mRNA ingredient in them, almost placebo-like. So this is a case where you actually wanted to get one of the duds, one of the placebo-like injections, if you're a person who got the shots.
Yeah.
Because the ones that sustained the most severe events are the ones that got the most active ingredient in them.
Right.
Here's another one. Surgical nurse, seeing a huge increase in clots. We are doing more amputations than I've seen in my whole career. I'm definitely seeing the clots you're describing. When I say it's probably due to the COVID shot, everyone ignores me, and there is silence in the operating room. I also hear the surgeons saying, I've never seen this before. Also, during heart surgeries, the surgeons are having difficult time suturing, as the tissues are just falling apart. Once again, the surgeons are saying, I've never seen anything like this before. A lot of patients are dying.
Wow, that is absolutely heartbreaking.
And Dr. McMillan's whistleblower said the very same thing. The surgeons will pull these strange clots out of people, and they'll hold them up in front of the entire operating room that's filled with anesthesiologists, nurses, all the whole staff in there, and they'll hold it up and say, what is this? Like, they're surprised to see it. So it tells you how different this is from anything they've ever seen before prior to the years of COVID or the vaccines.
Well, if you stopped reading only your medical journals that are paid for by the pharmaceutical companies to lean a certain way, and you actually look outside of, CNN for your information, maybe you would know what these are. People have been dying from this for years. You're now having to amputate limbs constantly because of these clots. Maybe you need to go looking for answers. I'm just so angry with these people, Major Tom.
Agreed. Wait till you hear the next one. I was feeling fine, had pain left side below shoulder blade, started sweating and feeling weak, called the ambulance. ECG did not show heart attack. Rushed to emergency. ECG did not show heart attack. Third different emergency. Doctor did ECG and ultrasound. They were all perplexed. A cardiologist was called. I went to a heart institute. Arriving there, I went into cardiac arrest. Was out 2 minutes. Three sets of compressions and four defibrillator shocks were used. They went in through an artery at the wrist. They removed fibrous clot. They did not want to tell me, but a nurse whispered to me, it's the vaccine. We have so many. Follow-up appointment with the cardiologist, I asked the question directly. The doctor looked down and said, I cannot talk about it at the risk of losing my job. What do you think of that, Maria?
You know what I think, Major Tom? I think a lot of these people want to stay quiet so that they can keep, you know, operating and helping their patients. There are some of those. There are some in that category. They think if I lose my license, all these people are going to be left with is brainwashed idiots who don't know that this is because of the injection, so I better stick around so I can at least help people. I see that side, but I also see the side of, my goodness, if these people don't speak up and if they don't tell the truth, the crime's just going to keep perpetuating.
My whistleblower has told me that he's not even sending the clots to pathology. The clots that are removed are not going to pathology. So the evidence is being destroyed, Maria.
Why? Because they don't want it to come back that this person's investigating this phenomenon. My goodness.
Now, here's the next one. My daughter died suddenly at age 45 in September 2022. She was an athlete, and her heart stopped while working out. She was an emergency room registered nurse and mandated to take the bioweapon and all boosters. While on life support, they found a blockage just outside her left ventricle. She suffered severe brain anoxia and was removed from life support. My son-in-law thought my insistence that this was from the bioweapon was complete lunacy. An autopsy was not offered, and she was cremated the next day. My family has no history of heart issues. My daughter was an active, 100% healthy, clean-eating mother of five. She was murdered.
Unbelievable. And this is the thing, they refused so many autopsies, they still are.
Yeah, that's the sad part about this. Very few autopsies. And if you were the parent of a kid like in their 20s or 30s that died suddenly, wouldn't you want to know why they passed away? I would. I'm just flabbergasted that families don't do that. But as you see, her family, you know, it appears her husband was in denial about the... About
even
the wife
a 45-year-old. Like, I mean, okay, 45 isn't a spring chicken, but since when do we have 45-year-olds just dropping dead?
Right. And, of course, the cremation, again, the evidence is being destroyed. So here's kind of an odd one. The last one I'll tell you here. I worked fitting patients for compression garments. Most clots are in the legs, but several have expressed that the clots extended into their groin, stomach, chest, and one that went into the person's neck from their foot. Most have had the clots removed and are now wearing very tight compression to prevent new clots. I have fit men for medical pantyhose. This was rare before. My business has increased three times to what it was in 2023, and the number of young people are shocking. Very few people have told me that their issues are old or are longstanding. Most have never had problems before. Only one revealed a jab status, and they were jabbed/boosted. Many say the clots came on suddenly. There's a definite pattern.
And don't these people understand that there's a correlation here? I mean, these men that are now wearing medical pantyhose, do they not ask themselves why they're now having to wear this? What, you know, young men having to wear these compression solutions? You said only one person really revealed that they had been jabbed, so that person clearly connected and wasn't afraid. Probably some of those people had connected, but are just too afraid to say it. But to see that there are still people in society, because, you know, it's very easy to be in our bubble and think, well, we talk openly about this. This is widely known knowledge. We know everything about the shots. We've been reading the studies. We know about the shedding. We know about the fetal deaths that Pfizer tried to cover up. We know about these new injections, everything that they say per the FDA the FDA approved package insert. We know everything. We know everything almost that needs to be known to make an informed decision. I would say that. We know enough to make an informed decision, and we know enough about the carnage that these have caused, and it's very easy to forget that there are still people out there that have no idea.
But as you said earlier, I think most Americans have stopped getting the shots now, so I think they maybe quietly, internally, they put two and two together. So that's good news, right?
Well, either that or it's just because there's no fear campaign at the moment, but the next time there is, will they get injected again? Serious question, Major Tom. If we've got young men going in to wear medical pantyhose, a huge influx of them, and they're still not putting two and two together, I don't know that there's help for these people's minds.
Yeah, and you're right, the evidence is overwhelming, you know, and from different angles too, right? We've had 10% excess mortality over the last 3 years in highly vaccinated countries. Meanwhile, the countries in Africa were very low jab uptake. have had no problems with excess mortality the last 3 years. You also have the work of Edward Dowd, who's been looking at this from a totally different angle, the insurance industry, and he saw a tremendous increase in death and disability starting in the third quarter of 2021, when a lot of these shots were mandated, like here in the United States, and an explosion of that in highly vaccinated countries like the UK and the United States. So people should be putting two and two together by now, you would hope.
Oh, God help us if they're not. I want to talk to you about a couple more things before we finish up today, Major Tom. You said you've made phone calls to a blood donation service called One Blood and the American Red Cross, that indicate these two organizations have different policies for whether or not they will accept or process the plasma from donors who are COVID injected. Talk to us about that, please.
Yeah, I got a tip a few weeks ago from my assistant, Laura Kasner, who runs a terrific Substack called Clottastrophe, where our work is being documented, that a woman who responded to a Steve Kirsch post on his Substack said that she had gone to this donation service called One Blood. It's in the, she was going on their big red bus. It's a big RV you can go on and donate right there on the bus. But that company, that donation service, One Blood, asked a pre-donation question, have you taken the COVID vaccine? So I thought that was very interesting, Maria. So I called the One Blood headquarters, and I talked to a nice woman in their department. Her name was Rose. And I asked her, that, hey, I have a question about the pre-donation question about the COVID vaccine. And she said, well, sir, we have to ask personal questions sometimes, but there's a good reason we have to ask this question, because we at One Blood do not process the plasma of COVID-vaccinated donors. We only process the plasma of unvaccinated donors.
Did she say why?
That was my next question. Why? So she started to go silent on me, Maria. So then I said, could it be because the mRNA from the vaccine is being found in the plasma? And she said, yes, the mRNA from the vaccine is being found in the plasma. Then she said something to the effect that you must be a pretty smart guy or something like that. So I contacted Clayton Morris from Redacted. He checked up on the requirements, eligibility requirements for the Red Cross, and they're different. American Red Cross will accept both the plasma and the whole blood from both COVID-vaccinated donors and unvaccinated donors. They do have a stipulation. They say if you've taken the COVID vaccine, they want you to wait 2 weeks from the time of your last COVID vaccine before you donate blood. But still, this is alarming, right? Because now these two blood donation services have two different policies. One won't take your donated plasma if you've been COVID vaccinated, period. The other one will take it, but they want you to wait 2 weeks. So it raises all kind of questions like, you know, is there mRNA and spike protein from the COVID in the blood of and plasma of COVID vaccinated donors that's getting into our blood supply?
Well, that's, I was just about to say this. So they want you to wait 2 weeks, and according to your survey, we have 118 people that developed a blood clotting issue after taking the injection after 2 weeks. To a month after taking the shot. Right. Then we had 320 people between 1 to 6 months, 217 people between 6 months and a year, and 367 people, which is the largest number on these, in these responses, where it was greater than 1 year. So waiting just Bingo. 2 weeks after you have the shot is not going to make your blood safe.
Bingo, you hit it right on the nail on the head, Maria. You get it. And in fact, there's been scientific papers out there that says that the mRNA from the jabs, which the FDA, the CDC, and Big Pharma touted, would leave your body in just a couple days to a week, right? Stay in your deltoid muscle, not go around the body, and leave your body in 2 days to a week. Those papers now say that's not true at all. This mRNA persists. It goes throughout the entire body, producing the spike protein, and the mRNA can last in your body for months at a time,
yeah,
as opposed to just those couple of days to a week.
That's right.
So that's what's happening, yeah. And it's unfortunate.
So unsafe. The other thing that you you said you wanted to talk about, an example of what normal blood should look like after it separates when left standing compared to the abnormal blood of three persons who've taken the injections. You've sent me three photos there, so let's talk through that.
Yeah. Before we get started on that, let me show you what normal blood looks like, the audience. This is my blood that was drawn about 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And what you see there at the bottom layer is your when blood separates, when it's allowed to sit for about 4 hours, it'll separate into couple of layers. The bottom layer is your red blood cells, and the top layer is your plasma. It's a kind of a clear yellowish liquid. And that plasma actually contains a very important protein in it called fibrinogen, which is important to the clotting process. It's in a soluble liquid form, but then whenever there's damage done to your endothelial lining, the inner walls of your veins and arteries, then that triggers the conversion of that liquid fibrinogen into a white solid called fibrin. Now let's show the audience a couple of photos of what from people who have been COVID vaccinated, like you say, and what, yeah. So bring up that first photo. Yeah.
So this was a 40-year-old woman, marathon runner prior to the COVID injection, symptomatic prior to the COVID injection? Symptomatic
no.
clotting in legs and
no.
feet.
Yeah, prior to the COVID injection.
She was a marathon runner before she got the COVID injection. Right, I got it.
Right, she was just fine. She was very healthy. Then she got the COVID shot, and then she developed, as you see on that that photo, you see the red blood cell layer, you see the plasma layer, but then you see that white clot forming in the bottom of that plasma layer, and that's an indication that she has severe damage going on inside her vascular system. And wow. She, like I said, she's very symptomatic. She has severe clotting in both her legs and her feet.
We've got another example here.
Yeah, I've got to put up the one of the four syringes. Yeah. This particular one here, this was a gentleman who took two doses of Pfizer, and each of those tubes has 30 milliliters of blood drawn in it. It was four separate draws from the same individual. What's scary about this one is you see the red blood cells at the bottom, the plasma layer at the top, and then you see this ugly white clot material at the bottom, sitting at the bottom of the plasma layer again. What's scary about this one, Maria, is that individual was asymptomatic. He felt just fine. He had no idea that he had severe clotting going on inside him.
Wow.
So this is a dangerous, thing. Let's put up the last photo.
Sure.
The last photo is of a middle-aged woman who took one shot of the J&J. As you see there, sitting again at the bottom of the plasma layer, is this now white, clumpy material with a little bit of red, splotchy blood on the side of it. This person, however, was highly symptomatic. She had severe fatigue, brain fog, and all host of all other kinds of problems after taking her just one dose of the J&J. So this is bad news, but it's good news in a way, Maria, because now we can have a simple test, I believe. Just get your blood drawn, let it sit in the tube for 4 hours to separate into its red blood cell layer and its plasma layer. And if you don't see any kind of white clot material at the bottom of your plasma layer, and you're probably good to go. You probably don't have vascular damage going on inside your system. But if you do see white material at the bottom, then this could be an indication that you've got damage going on. And maybe they can help you before you have a medical emergency, right? Or before you die suddenly with a stroke or heart attack.
It's just so amazing to me that these people, sorry to cut you off there, that these people are constantly telling us that they are the science, they know what's best, they're telling us there's a climate emergency, they're telling us we're going to have future pandemics, they are the elite, they're using AI to give us pandemic models, and we're going to create one injection per 26 pathogens. Guys, if you're watching this and you didn't see that segment yesterday on the American Journal, go back and watch it, please. And I've posted it everywhere. We've posted it on my Rumble, it's on our website, zmedia.com, it's on band.video, it's on infowars.com, it's on X, it's absolutely everywhere. And that particular segment needs to get, I mean it, millions of views, because we're talking about a blueprint to perpetuate biological terrorism on populations. These images that we're seeing, these clots that we're seeing coming out of all of these people, that is not even the worst of what these maniacs are planning. And they are telling you, they want you to get routine injections for all 26 pathogen families, routine under an adult vaccine schedule, just like the childhood vaccine schedule, except it's not just that you can't go, you know, here or there. You won't be able to access medical services. You won't be able to access banking services. All of that is in their plan. And so if we don't want to play Russian roulette with our lives, we need to continue sharing this and thwart their plans by telling everyone what's about to happen and what they're trying to implement. Major Tom Haviland, we are out of time today, but we are very grateful for your time, for coming on with us, for sharing all of this with us, and we appreciate all of your work. Truly, you're an amazing human being. After the break, we're going to be joined by Anne van der Steel, who's been receiving reports on the ground, shocking information from North Carolina. Don't go anywhere. We're going to cover all of that on the other side of this short break.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Free foreign aid, and you get free foreign aid, and the people of this country get to suffer. That is exactly what's happening in North Carolina at the moment. Hurricanes have ravaged all the way from Florida, all the way up to NC, and someone who's had their finger on the pulse and has really been on the case is journalist Anne van der Steel, who joins me now. I've been looking at her X feed this morning, and I am shocked to see some of the stories that are coming your way. Anne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Maria, good morning. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. Great to have you. We have so much to cover. There are a number of shocking stories that have come your way. I probably want to touch on the one about the children that you heard about after the break. But give us a brief overview over the next couple of minutes of what you're hearing from the ground.
Well, it's quite serious, Maria. I mean, there is a media blackout. The only media coming out of there is, of course, independent media like your show, mine, and others. There's great people headed there on the ground now. Team Operation Burning Edge has one of our colleagues, Taylor Kramer, who's also on the ground. I'll be there shortly. But frankly, when you talk to the locals, and I have quite a network of locals that live there that have created basically command and control centers for communications because they have Starlinks, they have prep, they have food, they have fuel. They are coordinating with flight organizations like Operation Airdrop, which are, again, civilian American citizens that are organizing themselves. And about the only day they weren't in the air was yesterday when, Sleepy Joe did a flyby and grounded all operations for that. But talking with these people on the ground, they have networks into deputies, into people in the medical arena. And I've spoken to some of these people personally myself, but one-off stories from very close friends in the area that are working and supporting deputies that are pulling bodies out. One gentleman, one deputy pulled 1,200 bodies out over the last couple of days himself and put in body bags between the rivers and the sides of the roads. Reports of pilots that are seeing bodies strewn in trees. Reports of these children. We'll get to that after the break, but just the children that are wandering around without their parents because their parents have been swept away. The fact that there's no federal government on the ground to provide disaster relief of any kind. Now, I have heard reports the American Red Cross is there, and from the preliminary reports, they are, from appearance, seem to be trying to help. But the level of, you know, Fort Bragg, which is now called Fort Liberty because they can't handle a Confederate name. I'll take the Confederate Army over the one we've got right now, Maria, but that fort is being told to stand down. The military that want to help, supplies are being turned away. Roads are now being closed between Asheville and Knoxville, Tennessee. I-40 has now been closed until September of 2025. So they are really limiting access in this area. And what we do know is that it's mineral rich with lithium, quartz. Some people that are experts in those fields tell me when you have good veins of quartz, you have good veins of gold. So there's a lot to unpack in all of this, but the human suffering is immense right now. And I think the untold casualties will probably be in the thousands.
Well, Greg Reese did a fantastic report. We actually aired it twice yesterday on that particular issue, the fact that the locals were, not wanting really, they were afraid to talk about it, but there were efforts to sort of take over that place because of the lithium in that area. And all roads always lead back to Black Rock and Vanguard, and that is certainly the instance in this case. And so we have just like Maui, this is how I see it. And just like Maui, they wanted a smart city in that region. The people were resisting. And so then they absolutely devastate that place with, I guess, potentially direct energy weapons. Now, to say that they don't have the ability to control the weather is incredibly naive. This technology is decades old. And it just so happens that they wanted this lithium deal done by 2025 and the locals weren't so keen on it. So, I mean, how far will maniacs who have been trying to kill us for the past 4 years, and I mean aggressively trying to kill us for 4 years, mm-hmm. go? Pretty darn far, if you ask me. So don't go anywhere. We're back with Anne van der Steel after this short break to break down some of the shocking stories about children that she's hearing.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
This just in from Chris Martinson on X. This needs to go far and wide to put pressure on the government to do the right thing and save lives. He says that he was contacted from a Peak Prosperity member. That's obviously his site. He says the person says, I can't post this online because it's not quite public yet, but government officials had a town meeting with all of the residents of Chimney Rock and basically told them the town was being bulldozed, bodies and all the land was being seized by the federal government. government, and that they would not be able to move back, and basically their homes, the ones that were all standing, were no longer theirs. The federal government owned it all. I know you have something to say about that, Anne, but I'll just quickly read the rest of this. I don't know what crazy play for land this is, but there's a lot of conspiracy about lithium mines. And let me just tell you, as someone who lives in Charlotte and has friends who live in the area of Western North Carolina, they are not being helped. And this is actually a stand down operation by the federal government. The person then says, is this first or secondhand info? The person says, this is actually our friend who owns an Airbnb at Chimney Rock. They had a town meeting yesterday, and someone from the federal government told them all of those things in the town meeting, but doesn't want the information getting out. Then they are not picking up the bodies. The stench of the bodies everywhere is insane, and for some reason, the government does not want to pick up those bodies. One pastor of a local church was going to order to door delivering water. Order to door? Okay. Anyway, and they changed their delivery request to body bags because so many of the homes they've gone to have needed body bags. We're trying to keep the body count. This correlates with what you're saying, and, you know, just one report of over 1,200, let alone how many more there really are out there. They're not picking up the bodies, and they don't want to identify them. They're just leaving them on the streets. And all the stores are empty or locked. Chandler, NC, 2,000 people haven't eaten anything or drank in 6 days. They just got an SOS message out for help. I'm trying to tag the Cajun Navy and Operation Airdrop, but people are dying by the minute. Truckers have reported having their tires slashed, doors yes. being robbed at gunpoint. And, I mean, so before we get into the other story about the children, and does this correlate with what you're hearing?
Absolutely, it correlates. But then let's look at the facts, Maria. And again, you know, shout out to Alex because he's been talking about globalism for a long time. The fiat system for the Western Central Banking Cabal is kaput. It's over. It's finished. It's bankrupt. And, you know, the BRICS nations, which started in 2006, is coming online. Putin steps to the microphone in October to basically tell the world about their payment system. And they're using true natural resource asset backed basket of their currencies for a true sound money system. And that's going to compete. Actually, it's going to clobber the fake news, fake money system where we have nothing backing our assets. So now you start to put that scenario overlaying to what you see happening with a full federal land grab, just like the federal government and the Bureau of Land Management have been going after the minerals in this country and after farmers' land for decades. We can go back to the Bundy case and many others. Now look what's happening here. We have reports from Johann Hutton Pulitzer in East Tennessee. He said, Anne, it's like a asteroid exploded in the atmosphere. Trees are splayed out in 360 degrees, flattened, like what happened in Russia back in the early 1900s. Something devastating happened. The reports of how the trees have been ripped and twisted out of the ground is not normal. So this, you know, something has enhanced our weather. Something is, you know, the fact that federal government is collaborating to stand down across the board from the local to the military is rather shocking. And then you understand when you have no assets to back your currency and possibly no gold in Fort Knox, well, they're going to need something to be competitive on the world stage. So they're going to make a grab for the riches that are in the soil underneath the land of the very people who have made this country great, and they don't care. You know, to hear that they're going to bulldoze homes and bodies in Chimney Rock is absolutely shocking. But again, nothing would shock me less than to know that the federal government is completely weaponized by the international banking cabal doing their bidding, which is what they've been doing for decades.
Well, it's a multi-pronged approach, isn't it? Or a multi-pronged agenda, I suppose, because you've got the resources, the lithium. You've also got this being a key voting area, that whole region. And then you also Correct. Have the fact that they want to paint this picture that because of climate change, certain areas are becoming more and more unlivable. And therefore, you know, that even in that, I keep referencing this document that we covered yesterday, and the National Blueprint for Biodefense, they actually talk about, you know, climate change and pandemics being very closely related, and therefore certain areas needing to be declared as unsafe for human use, and we need to make this a conservation area. Oh, and by the way, that just so happens to be what Biden signed up to with the United Nations, where he said, yeah, we'll give you 30% of American land. And the Council on Foreign Relations says it's about 80%, actually. And so this, you know, you look at all of these converging issues, it's pretty clear to me what's going on here.
Absolutely. The federal government has separated themselves very clearly from the American people. And 28 U.S.C. 3002-15A in their own U.S. code, this very clearly says the United States is a federal corporation. It is a private foreign entity separate from the American soil. And Joe Biden was clear in a soundbite a couple of days ago when he said, well, the American people are going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay. They're telling us FEMA has no money. Kamala Harris said you're getting $750 as if that is going to do anything for the devastation. Looking at the reels you're showing, it's clear that area has been absolutely destroyed. There is no returning to some of that area, and how towns have been completely eradicated. And I'm telling you right now, Maria, as God is my witness, he's raising his army to stand and fight this evil, but this evil is not stopping, and they will not stop until they believe they can get what they deserve and what they need in order to survive. And they are facing a massive threat with the BRICS financial, economic, and foreign interests coming together. And they're coming together using the same sort of philosophy that President Trump did, oddly enough, which is financial stability and fair trade. It brings world peace, and that's what we saw with 4 years under the Trump administration, and that's what you're seeing with the Shanghai Cooperation Council and so on and so forth. These BRIC nations are going to be leveraging their own strength from their own natural resources to back their own currencies and create their own trade agreements, and they basically operate 70% of the world population. So do they really need us when we are in the process of deindustrializing ourselves and importing the very labor replacement population from countries that are going to be taking our manufacturing jobs to them and bringing these people here to burden the system and then, of course, take over where we've left off? Because, again, you have illegals that are running around down there right now that were dropped off just days before this catastrophic hurricane, and they are looting and robbing and raping. It is absolutely abhorrent what's happening down there.
Well, on talking about draining the resources, I'm just trying to find the image that I had up before about FEMA has $20 million to give to illegals, but they don't have more than... according to Mayorkas, we've got another hurricane coming and FEMA doesn't have enough to help. That's his statement.
That's right. And let's remember who Mayorkas really is. He's a communist. He was the former board member of HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, that has been probably one of the most powerful resources next to the International Office Organization on Migration on bringing in all of the replacement invading army that we see. HIAS was well represented down in Darien Gap, well represented throughout Central America. And again, HIAS and Mayorkas have nothing but disdain for Americans, for our way of life, for what this country means. And they have weaponized human migration to such a level. We are going to find out in the next 40 days just how bad the weaponization of human migration has been for Americans. And based on what we see about 120,000 PLA members of the People's Liberation Army from China in this country. And I've seen with my own eyes, we've put it out on social media, the caliber of some of these Chinese men. They are clearly special forces, and they're not here just for the $2,200 a month, Maria. They're here on a mission. And I shudder at the thought of what is coming in the next several couple of weeks as we roll into this election season. But clearly they do not want anybody with strong leadership in this country right now. They have their globalist puppet, and it's always been about global governance and rolling us all under, you know, their edict. And these are anti-God, anti-human, transhumanist demons, as I like to call them. They do not value the same systems and sets that we do.
Oh, so absolutely.
we are going to be very challenged.
And that's why they pushed and did the Pact for the Future last month, right ahead of the U.S. election. They want everyone signed up to this one world government. And, you know, gosh, I wish that people would listen well in advance. You know, now people, I have to have a bit of a whinge about this. And because I just saw people in Australia are now whinging about this. A senator is now whinging about this after the Prime Minister said, yeah, sure, we want to be part of Pact for the Future. And it's like, for goodness sake, some of us are screaming about this a year in advance. And it's just human nature, isn't it? They wait until it's too late. They don't pay attention to the warnings in advance. You know, Alex has been screaming for 25 years and now people are catching on, you know, and I'm not blaming people. I understand, you know, it takes a lot to get to the point where you accept that the government wants you dead. But, you know, if we just just listen to the warnings ahead of time, then maybe we wouldn't be in a position where we have an unspecified body count with the government telling people they can't go back to their homes. I really want you to focus on, we'll talk later about what you, where you see this going and what the next, you know, few weeks is going to look like ahead of this election, but talk to us about some of these shocking reports that you're hearing from the region, and I really want people, as dark as this is, to hear about the story of the children whose parents are dead.
Right. So right before I went on with Brianna Morello yesterday, I got a phone call. So this is coming directly from people who are actually on the ground flying supplies into areas that have been hardest hit and also flying people out. And this particular person that's involved in the airlift operations over there told me that there was about 30 children that were, you know, just wandering around, many of them naked. Their parents were dead. And of the six that came from one family that they picked up and flew out, there was clear signs of absolute sexual abuse and rape in these children. And, you know, the illegal aliens have been seen in the area. The illegal aliens have been looting. The illegal aliens have engaged in bringing in guns into area, in addition to ordinary Americans as well, by the way. I mean, people are desperate. We are now, at, as of yesterday, day six, without food, without water. Today, we're going into day seven. So, you know, you can understand that people are desperate at this point for anything. And people will resort to what they have to do. But to harm children and to take advantage sexually of children in this time, this tells you that the government, who knew they were bringing in these criminals, dropping them off specifically in an area when they knew it weeks in advance that the storm potentially was going to have devastating consequence. To do this and leave people without a place to stay, knowing that this is the caliber of individuals and this is what they've been doing, is so criminal and so inhumane. But then again, this is the federal government in which we're talking about. They are deranged and they are part of the beast system, which is collapsing, which is one of the reasons they are reacting and responding and performing in the way they are. They are grabbing at anything they can to keep themselves on life support because they have literally sucked the life force out of this country. The key for me is where I get hope, Maria, is that we are incredibly resilient. And when we finally wake up and see exactly what's going on and understand how threatened we are by our own government, the people will respond accordingly. How that's going to unfold, you know, has any number of ways, of which some can be positive and some can be dangerous. But I do believe we're going into that part of the storm where we have to be prepared for anything to come our way.
Absolutely. You're dealing with a thrashing beast who's been cornered, that knows their time is short, that is every day being exposed more and more and more, no matter how much they try with their fakery, that, you know, people are seeing through it. And we just played earlier in the broadcast and we had a leftist gentleman who was crying, absolutely heartbroken that the person he calls his president, Kamala Harris, who he supports, is not doing anything to help him. He doesn't understand why she's betrayed his people like this. They're just being left to die. And it, you know, it really is the warning that we've been trying to give people for so long, and that we actually, us crazy right-wing nut jobs actually care about you. These leftists don't. They want you dead. Now, you mentioned something that I wanted to just clarify or get a bit of more information on. You said that there were illegals dropped into the region just weeks before this hurricane. Is that right?
Days. They were bussed in days before. They bussed in a half a dozen or so buses of illegals into the Asheville area and just dropped them off. I mean, this is what we're dealing with as a federal government. You know, they are very organized, right? They are very organized. They have multiple vectors in which they're attacking all of us for the destabilization and, of course, the upending of our electorate system. We're going into an election. And I've just got a comment on this with respect to the election, Maria. Where is the ground game for the RNC? Oh, wait, that's right. There is no ground game. Instead, there are many groups that have infighting and people can't seem to rally around. The fact is we need to elect Donald Trump in there. You may not like like his tweets, but we need Donald Trump in office right now. That is a fact. He's the only person that can have some kind of, shall we say, strength to bring to the Oval Office to perhaps put the fear of God, because he does understand this big picture of what's happening. He does understand that we are at war with the central bankers. He understands that America's sovereignty has been stripped by the United States government. And so when you talk about the United States government as an entity that's not connected to the American people, it is not, except that they will come and collect your money, your taxes, and they'll squander it and send billions overseas to anybody but leave you with $750. If that isn't more clear, and if that gentleman who understands this now is asking, where is Kamala Harris, his president, if that isn't a wake-up call for everybody to rally and understand the real enemy is inside the wire, it's called the United States government, and we need to work together despite our political partisan differences to survive. I really don't know what else we can highlight for anybody at this point.
Absolutely. And let me just say, this is a really important signal that you've identified. I'm sure that they're going to play this game again. So the same people that are bringing in these violent criminals, these illegals, these sex offenders, these child rapists into this country, literally dropped off buses of these people into this region just days before this event, this tragedy that evidence is pointing to being an orchestrated weather event, a manufactured weather right. event, or at least an accelerated weather event. So they drop off buses of these illegals. So this is a warning to Americans. If you see all of a sudden busloads of illegals being dropped into an unsuspecting region that isn't a quote-unquote sanctuary city, I'm assuming this place isn't, and, you know, or even if it is, if you just see busloads of migrants, just be aware the government may be planning to destroy your town in the next week or so. I mean, are we at that point now?
Well, let's just look at New York City as an example. 20% of the hotels in New York City are now migrant shelters. 20%, one in five hotels in New York City is a migrant shelter. It got so bad in New York City that one of their own, Mayor Eric Adams, dared to speak out, and now he's under investigation for, you know, financial crimes with respect to election fundraising. I mean, this is, they've now flipped on their own because he spoke out. He dared to speak out about the illegal alien problem in New York City, the crime, the weapons that are being smuggled in, the rapes. It's absolutely unconscionable that one of their own would speak out. And so now they have put Mayor Eric Adams square into their sights, and they're going to take care of him. They're going to make sure that never happens again. They'll make an example of him so that never happens again, lest a mayor or a governor ever speak out about the weaponization of human migration in their state, their city, their town, whatever. This is the full force and weight of the federal government is being thrown around to make sure they manage the plan, the managed decline of the United States of America. And that is exactly what it is. They're going to take us over as best they can without firing a shot. And they're doing a really, really good job of it, Maria. The only shots they fired really en masse would be the bioweapon that they managed to get into millions of arms here in the United States. And that is another vector of death and destruction that we're just starting to see really as the hockey stick starts to accelerate directly up. And unfortunately, we're going to be completely overwhelmed. And let's not forget, we have longshoremen striking. The Teamsters are starting to talk about it. Nurses are starting to strike in different parts of the country. So the full weight of all of this coming together, you could not plan a better storm for the American people. And right now it is going to be every man to work together with their families and their neighbors to try and survive this. Well, we're going to find out what Americans are made of. And I posit this, Maria, this is our seminal moment right now in this country for Americans to understand their rights as given to them by God. Genesis 1:26-28. This is their rights given them by God. We have dominion over this earth. That means for every human being. But Americans have always been the shining city on the hill to lead. Let's lead out of this. Whenever we have disaster striking in the past, we came together. Now we have nobody there but ourselves. Let's show the government that we can survive this. We can govern ourselves. And then we have the right to alter or abolish, as our founding fathers articulated in our Declaration of Independence, and we can begin again anew with a real republic and a republican form of government.
Well, I don't know what other option there is when you're looking at Biden Harris using FEMA disaster funding for illegal immigrants. They took more than $1 billion tax dollars that had been allocated to the agency responsible for American disaster relief and used it to offer services for illegal immigrants. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, allocated nearly $364 million in the fiscal year 23 and $650 million for 2024 to the Shelter and Services Program to provide humanitarian services to non-citizen and migrants following their release from the DHS. This is according to their own website. And then we have, of course, now that they don't have enough funds to last through hurricane season. So we're talking about federal agencies that are funding these people who are coming in and raping American children. Raping American children. Killing Americans. Getting the funding over American people. This is an atrocity. And as you said, Anne, I mean, I don't know what other option we have anymore other than Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that as, you know, he's just whatever. No, he understands this. He went to help these people straight away. He showed leadership. You've got Comey Kamala doing fake, you know, press photo shoots, drawing squiggles on Air Force Two, putting on her official-looking jacket so that she can get her photo up, having pretend conversations, pretend presidency, pretend presidency. Where is the current president of the United States? If he's even alive anymore, who knows? Maybe it's just AI Joe Biden on the beach at this point. Nobody knows. This is absolute madness. And in the midst of all of this, we find out that they are willing to let this happen, even orchestrate this, for some lithium? I mean,
well, that supports their global agenda, does it not? I mean, they're all about extinguishing the carbon footprint, and we are the carbon footprint that they want to extinguish. Somebody took down the Georgia Guidestones, which was etched in 12 languages. How, you know, there's too many useless eaters. There's only supposed to be 500 million of us, and we're approaching 8 billion at this time. So, you know, this is, unfortunately, they've been telling us what they're going to do for a long time. And I'd like to reflect on a document that came out in January of 2023 that the president of Mexico, the United States, and Canada signed. The Declaration of North America, the DNA of all things in the middle of COVID, right? But this document is very, very clear. It uses all the usual buzz language, diversity, equity, inclusion, climate change, the environment, competitiveness, migration and development, health, and of course, regional security, because through this document, they have now.
I want to hear more about that after the break. We've got to cut now, Anne, but we'll be right back with Anne Vandersteel. Don't go anywhere.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're here for our final segment with Anne Vandersteel. Alex Jones is coming up in just under 30 minutes. And right before the break, you were talking about a DNA document. Talk to us about that. And then I want to play this clip of Harold Daggett saying that he's going to hurt everyone. I bring that up because you mentioned the port strike. I want to get your take on it. But talk to us about that document first.
So the Declaration of North America basically has now combined and homogenized the United States, Canada, and Mexico into one region because, again, global governance is defined by regions. It's very reminiscent of the Hunger Games to me, frankly. But when they go, if you go through this document, which is only a couple of pages, and you only have to look at the diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is your first point in the document, they talk about working in partnership with the indigenous peoples. And I'm going to focus on this because the left and the tree huggers and the globalists have always been all about the indigenous, the indigenous, the indigenous. Well, from our vantage point in Operation Burning Edge, we witnessed the indigenous in Panama, the Embera, the Kuna Indian, being completely overrun by the globalists and the United Nations, supplanting themselves right in their villages, putting tents and creating immigration processing points inside these indigenous people's villages. And these people lived in harmony with nature, to borrow Klaus Schwabian, for 500 years on the rivers up there. And they were an agrarian agricultural society, completely turned into purveyors of human trafficking, having to build these little skinny boats called piraguas with, you know, Johnson and Evinrude engines on them to move the illegal migrants up and down the river 3 and 4 hours in each direction so they could get to the next waypoint and be processed and then be put on buses, sent to camps, and then again bussed all the way to Mexico. So it destroyed the indigenous population. It destroyed their economy in harmony with nature. It brought all kinds of disease there, rape from the cartels and these migrants that are moving through there. It destroyed the UNESCO protected properties with the CCP just basically harvesting trees that have been there since Adam and Eve. An absolute abomination. But when you look in their document, it says we are in partnership with the indigenous peoples. We will promote innovative and sustainable solutions that honor traditional knowledge, foster indigenous-led growth and job creation, and we will continue to cooperate to build societies communities where Indigenous women and girls can live, learn, and lead without fear through Trilateral Working Group on Violence Against Indigenous Women and Girls. So I did a little research, Maria, and I dropped this in for your producers, but there's a they were supposed to have these meetings, right? The Trilateral Working Group. The most recent one after this document was signed in January of 23 was in August of September of 23, where they had a meeting in Canada. The government of Canada hosts the fifth convening of the Trilateral Working Group on Violence Against Indigenous Women and Girls. That entire meeting was centered around the LGBTQ plus agenda. It had absolutely nothing to do with making sure that their Indigenous populations, their traditional way of life were protected. It was all about moving them into this insane lifestyle of LGBTQ, which is essentially a depopulation agenda. Yes. Because let's be honest, once you translate into either a gay or a lesbian or you become whatever and you're not procreating, well, guess what? You are extinguishing your species, which in fact is what we've seen them do over and over, is extinguish the Indigenous populations to the best of their ability. And if they can't get rid of them, they control them with drugs and alcohol or destroy their land. And this is, in fact, what has been happening over and over again. But they're just putting it out there and gaslighting all of us and showing us that this isn't, you know, what they say and what they do are two totally different things.
Well, again, disgusting. Referencing that broadcast that we did yesterday, everyone go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. But in there, they talk about, you know, Indigenous people. They talk about making sure that we, you know, we bring these tribes on. They actually admit that they are sovereign and therefore not subject to federal rules and regulations, but we need to bring these people along on the journey, right, so that they will willingly submit themselves. And that is actually what the document called UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, says. The whole thing is fluffy about how they're going to protect their rights and care about their women and equality and all this stuff, and it sounds great until you get to the final point, which is Article 46, that essentially translated means actually you're all subjected to the United Nations in our way. And so that is exactly what you were describing, and they talk about the rights of these people and then they go in and subjugate them to this gay satanic agenda.
Right. Yeah. And again, you know, the key word you said is they had sovereignty. At least they're supposed to. But under this agenda, they don't. And the fact is, it's more shiny objects. It's always about the money. And we broke a story in Panama where, you know, these indigenous now are making hundreds and hundreds of dollars a day moving merchandise of people, human trafficking people up and down these rivers. I mean, they're making a ton of money. The problem is, the Panamanian government, funded by, well, we don't know who exactly, but we suspect, has now built a bridge connecting Panama into South America. So now there is a land bridge. You no longer need to cross with rivers and boats and so forth. So the indigenous, which have now forsaken their way of life from, you know, living along the river and the land, to start moving people and selling food and all this, you know, first world type activity, will be left with nothing, because now the routes to move people from South America into Central America and, of course, North America will be completely by land. You won't need to go through the Darien Gap jungle. They'll be able to move more people more quickly, more efficiently, frankly, and the indigenous who have forsaken their way of life will be left with nothing. So that will again release the land that the indigenous have been living on to the global interests that will, of course, want to take advantage. It's just so disheartening and so disgusting, Maria, how they upend everything. Every single agency in the United States, whatever the name is, results in the exact opposite consequence of what their expressed intent should be. It's just horrific that people aren't catching on to this yet.
I didn't think we'd have time to actually go through this clip, but I think it's important at this point. O'Keefe Media Group clip 10, crew, if you can cue that up. Hidden camera footage revealing the Mexican army assisting migrants crossing the border. I want people to see this and tell me if this would have been allowed under President Trump.
20-year-old Jose Luis Ateno is a member of the Mexican Army. He said there had been no movement at this border fence in Campo, California, an hour east of San Diego.
They've been cutting these beams yesterday, today, or they recently?
He also said that his role is to, quote, stop migrants from crossing.
lo ayudan. Los ayudan a que crucen. A que no crucen.
But the next day, we observed a vehicle parked at the Mexican Army Patrol Base right where Jose Luis Ateno was. They were actively assisting illegal immigrants move over the wall and helping them get across. The next day, as you can see, the same vehicle is transporting migrants to the border wall opening just 1,000 yards opposite the Army Patrol area. Why did the Mexican Army official tell us there's not much activity, or that Mexican Army doesn't let them cross when you can see migrants in the video crossing? In the film, Line in the Sand, we answer some of these questions. We utilize hidden cameras in Mexico alongside Mexican military officials.
Shout out there to James O'Keefe and the upcoming movie Line in the Sand. That link was up on everyone's screen. And you know better than many people what sort of shenanigans are going on at that border. And I want to know, you know, from you, I'm certain that that would not have been allowed to happen under President Trump. They would have been terrified to allow that to keep going under President Trump. What are your thoughts on that video?
Well, clearly they're just doing as directed by the DNA, the Declaration of North America. Again, it's about migration. So despite the fact that media was there questioning the Mexican army, when you have a document signed by Obrador, Biden, and Trudeau uniting the three countries into one region, there are no borders. There are no borders. And so the directive that they are getting from the Mexican army for the Mexican army is to exactly do that. Facilitate the migration. It's right in there documented. It began again with a Los Angeles declaration on migration and protection. It was a framework for regional responsibility that 21 leaders endorsed on the margins of the 9th Summit of the Americas. Again, this is all again about labor mobility. They want these people in the country. This is the replacement population. You know, the fact that the ILA, the Longshoremen's Association, is protesting and striking right now because they don't want machine automation is interesting, because you've got a replacement population that could replace them for a whole lot less wages. So there's more to this to unpack, frankly, Maria. That's a remarkable coverage and drone footage from O'Keefe Media. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they've done a great job. I actually wanted to play that clip that we didn't get to yesterday of Harold Daggett regarding the port strikes. Harrison was one of the first people I heard actually talking about it. And then I started looking into it, and I think there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. But let's play that clip of Harold.
Over the weekend, the
Secretary of Labor Julie Sue has been terrific. She's knocking down doors. She's trying to stop this. She's trying to get us to a media where we can have a fair negotiations. It's the companies that don't want to. They don't want to sit here and be fair. So that's why we're out here fighting for our livelihood.
What more from the automation do you want? What more protections could there be?
What more?
Yeah, they have language in there now.
Not strong enough, because what happens is they come in with new technology. We just caught them in Mobile, Alabama, called AutoGate. Right. And that means the trucks are coming in and they're already checked in somewhere else and not using the checkers in the ILA.
Circumventing the contract.
They don't care. They don't care. It's not fair. And if we don't put our foot down now, they would like to run over us, and we're not going to allow that.
Interesting detail that I heard about him, and is that Harold Daggett, who pledged to cripple the United States, those are the words that he said, I will cripple you, you know, owns a 76-foot yacht, a Bentley, and, you know, it doesn't really matter how much he earns or has. He's obviously fighting for the rights of these workers. So, you know, he could be a billionaire for all I care. I don't really care how much he has. But according to this post, he was acquitted on RICO charges after the main witness against him, mobster Lawrence Ricci, was found decomposing in a car trunk in New Jersey. And this is happening at a time where escalations of world war are happening. You have countries in the Middle East trying to pull America into that war. You have Russia saying, you know, Israel, you need to get your people out of Lebanon. You know, so Russia's making warnings against this. And now we have port strikes happening that could potentially cripple the nation until next year. The supply chains will be affected until next year. That will include food. I'm sensing something odd is going on here, Anne.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the timing of all this is very suspicious. Again, Let's just say it's face value that what they're very concerned about is their wages and the automation. Okay, that's a fair argument. I'll accept that for face value. But at the same token, if you have ILA members that are also equally devastated from Hurricane Helene, it's not just North Carolina. We've got East Tennessee, Georgia, Florida. We've got other people that work in ports that have been hit by this hurricane. They understand the gravity of the situation and the devastation and the suffering that's happening. There's a human side to this, right? Why now? Why can't you just keep your powder dry and do your strike later? There's more to it than just, you know, we're doing it now. No, there's a reason that they're doing it now. And again, this goes back to the necessity to cripple America, to bring her to heel and roll her into, you know, a global governance. This guy, Harold Daggett, right? Mob ties. I see a massive oligarchical war happening right now, too. So we've got oligarchical wars at multiple layers, the very tippy top of the globe, on down into the other, the useful idiots, the mob bosses, the government stooges that are basically having their hands on the levers of our government entities and systems that create problems when they need problems created. So I see something very interesting happening here where this war has started at the very top of the global elite, where I believe some have peeled away and think, you know, we can't allow this to happen to humanity, and others are still fighting. The problem is the ones that are the puppets of the bad global leaders right now still have their hands on the levers of everything in government around the world. And so the uprising has got to come from the people, because if you do believe in the Bible as a Christian, you know that we have dominion over the earth. We're supposed to. We are the stewards of this planet that God gifted us. And we're starting to see that. I mean, there's civil wars happening in UK. None of these things are just happening in vacuums, Maria. These are all happening in a coordinated fashion. It's just how will God's children come together as his army and respond? That is the big question. And I believe we win because I know how the book ends. But there's going to be untold consequence, pain, and suffering. Look, he sent his only son, right? And he was sacrificed for our sins. So we have more sacrifice to make because we were not good stewards. We did not follow what we were supposed to do as our own civic duty, as prescribed by our documents, our Constitution. And unfortunately, we have to atone for that sin as well.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And there is an element of personal responsibility here that needs to be acknowledged. The fact that we sat idly by while they were plotting this for years, for many years, it was a select few screaming that this was coming. Now there's a lot of people screaming about it. And I'm grateful for that. But for many years, many people sat idly by and didn't heed the warning and perhaps weren't paying attention. Maybe didn't know about the warning, but weren't paying attention themselves. They lived comfortable lives. The lives that they actually lulled us into, this false sense of security of the American dream or the Australian dream or the English dream, whatever the case may be, knowing full well that their plan was to eventually destroy us. So I'm in agreement with you, and I'm always hopeful. I'm never at the point of being black-pilled. I'm just realistic that I'm going to prepare for the absolute worst while hoping and fighting and praying peacefully for the best. So I want to ask you, Anne, in the last few minutes that we have here, what sort of moves do you think they may pull ahead of the election, which is coming up in 32 days?
As much chaos as possible. We have another storm that's like due here in South Florida, on the West Coast primarily, but this time it's going to extend to the East Coast where I live. We're expecting that to come in on Sunday, and it has the same exact trajectory as Helene did. So I expect more, you know, devastation, more uncertainty, more chaos in our lives. I mean, we've seen Bank of America, Verizon all have failures. I expect there to be some significant failures where we're going to have electrical grid interruptions. I think we have with the PLA, an army of 120,000 Chinese in our country right now, I believe they are going to go after the power grids. I think we're going to sustain serious interruptions in our own activities of daily living just by not having communications. So if you are not set up with alternative communications like satellite phones or two-way radios, if you don't know if you don't have a communications plan for your network, your neighborhood, your town, et cetera, you need to do it now. You need to be stocked up with supplies because you are going to find yourself at some point cut off from people, and it's going to be difficult to get gasoline. This strike alone is a massive, massive pound of sand in our gears for our activities of daily living. And people have, I mean, we've just topped off all of our gas tanks here so that we can, you know, continue to operate as much as possible. But we expect to lose everything in terms of power, but we will be resilient because we have been prepared. And so I think it's going to be resiliency and the spirit of the American and, of course, a whole lot of God and praying to get us through. But I believe we will get through because it's in our DNA. As you know, Americans to fight back and to stay, to keep our sovereignty and honor God.
Well, it's in human DNA. We were created to be incredibly resilient, and we're in the image of our Creator, who is as resilient as it gets. So, and we are going to be praying for your safety over the weekend. Please make sure to reach out. I know you have a sat phone, so please make sure to reach out to the people that can help, including myself. Happy to be of assistance. You take care. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Maria.
All right. Well, I do have some good news. And if you're not following Anne, you can find her there on X at Anne Vandersteel. She mentioned the importance of having satellite communication. I know I harped on about that earlier, but I can't tell you how safe I feel knowing I keep my satellite phone, my bivy stick, I keep it in a Faraday bag and I have it with me everywhere. I'm not going to take, you know, 50% of people were impacted by a Verizon outage this week. Now, imagine if there was also chaos during that time. Imagine if they said, now that we've tested 50% of people being affected by this outage, now we know this crisis is happening and we can make the outage happen then as well. I mean, the lengths they will go to are never ending. And so, don't let yourself be caught without satellite communication. It could literally mean your life or the life of your loved ones, especially if you have loved ones that are across the country. You just never know what will happen. Infowarsphone.com, and head to Infowarsstore.com as well to get supplies, vitamins, things of this nature. But I cannot stress the importance of satellite communication, ladies and gentlemen, and I feel all the more safe for knowing that I have it. I do have some good news before we wrap up today. The Trust Fall, which is a movie that about Julian Assange, and I know the director is a great guy, Kim Statton, says that the resolution was passed in favor of Assange. You would remember that yesterday we were reporting that he was at the Council of Europe, the parliamentary assembly there, for his first public speech since being released from Belmarsh prison. He's been spending some time with his family. I've personally been in contact with his father, John Shipton, who is a wonderful, wonderful man, and is just overjoyed to have his son home. You can't even imagine all those years knowing that your son is suffering for free speech and journalism and something that should be available to every single one of us. We should be able to hear the truth. We should be able to tell the truth. And if we didn't have the truth, we wouldn't be able to issue the warnings that we're issuing now ahead of this election. I mean, just imagine a world without the truth. And I say that so much, but I don't know if people grasp it. Imagine all you had was CNN and MSNBC. Those were your only sources. Just imagine it would be hell on earth. I'm not even kidding. Because truth is such a powerful thing that cuts through lies. It keeps you sane. It keeps you full of peace. And so if all we have is lies, we will be in serious, serious trouble. That's why it's so important to defend InfoWars. But I digress. So we spoke yesterday. Assange said, I am not free because the system worked. I'm free because I pled guilty to journalism. And I just can't imagine, you know, what it would be like to be in that position. But he has now, we have news now that today the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe passed a resolution stating that Julian Assange was a political prisoner. Now, as much as this may not have, you know, extreme legal effects immediately, it is a huge win. They have stated that the disproportionately severe charges brought against Julian Assange by the U.S., as well as heavy penalties foreseen under the Espionage Act for engaging in acts of journalism, fall within the criteria set out in Resolution 1900-2012, the definition of political prisoner. The resolution also calls for the following: the U.S. to urgently reform the 1917 Espionage Act, the U.S. to conduct thorough, impartial, and transparent investigations into alleged war crimes and human rights violations disclosed by WikiLeaks and Mr. Assange, and the U.K. to conduct an independent review of the treatment of Julian Assange. And, of course, the Australian government should be calling for a similar thing. This is one of their citizens, one of their nationals, who was kept in a prison where he reportedly suffered immense human rights abuses. They repeatedly ignored multiple doctors saying this man is going to die in prison if you keep him in here. And true, he needed quite a bit of recovery time after he got out. And mind you, you know, he even said yesterday, the day before, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. Anyway, when we were airing that footage yesterday, he was saying, you know, forgive me, it's hard essentially to gather my thoughts. I'm still getting used to this. And I was so unbelievably encouraged by the fact that this man, who's been persecuted immensely, and I mean to the point where years and years and years have gone by, he hasn't been able to see his children, he hasn't been able to be a father, he's suffered at the point where he may even die in that jail. I can't even begin to imagine the torture. Someone who's a free thinker and a free speech absolutist not being able to speak to people, not even being able to turn up to his court hearings. They made sure that he wasn't there on so many occasions. And so to see him come out and still battle for free speech, to see him come out and call for reforms on the Espionage Act so no one has to suffer like him again, this is what people like Alex are doing. This is what people like Harrison and Owen and the whole crew here are doing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. Please continue this fight for free speech. Share this everywhere, and I'll be back with you on Monday. Alex is up next. God bless.
Telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up. But I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Finally, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock and now available for 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. This specially formulated drink mix gives your body the essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other beneficial compounds that support optimum health. Vitamin Mineral Fusion goes above and beyond the standard of vitamins and trace minerals. Our exclusive formula is loaded with 34 key ingredients, including vitamin C, E, D, B12, calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, L-glutamine, CoQ10, alpha-lipoic acid, folic acid riboflavin, and much more. Aside from bolstering your bodily functions, this drink mix is naturally delicious. And unlike capsules and vitamin pills, it's truly a pleasure to the taste buds. So if you haven't already, mix it up and take your health to the next level with Vitamin Mineral Fusion today. Now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.